February, good Lord, March 6, 2013, and it is hump day, yeah, I'm saying we're halfway through the week, so I hope everybody's having a wonderful day out there. Hey, man, I tell you, it's another beautiful day here in that Central Texas area. That's right, coming to you live. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host, Eric Jackson, and we are going to have some fun today, y'all. Once again, we have another outstanding show planned for you. And, you know, teen suicide and gun violence. I don't know if I should have used the right word, fun, but we're going to have a very lively conversation. Is that a better way of saying it? I think it is. A very lively conversation. Oh, I think that is a much, much better term. You know what I mean? All right. And so, you know, we do what we try to do. Anyway, if you want to join the conversation today, give me a call, 347-838-8622. Or you join me in my chat room, just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Eric Jackson 62 and log in. And you can join me in the chat room or just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. And at the search bar, just put in Mr. Talk, and you join, you hop in the chat room. We can have conversations there as well as live on the air. You know, I'm willing to talk to any and everybody. I don't care. That's what makes it a great time. Why we call it Let's Talk. Because if you got something on your mind, we can talk about it. You know, like, everybody has an opinion. Now, whether we agree with you, that'd be something totally different. But, hey, it is what it is. You can email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, if you have any suggestions. Or better yet, go to my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. You can leave a comment there as well. Or, you know, just check out the page. Either or. Either way, we're going to have us a good time today. There's just no doubt about that. All right. Now, let's go and get into the preliminaries real fast. You know, as we do every day, we have to put out some things so everybody will understand what's going on. The show covers some very touchy topics. And before we get started, I do want to say I apologize to anyone that may be offended or may think that the conversation is a little bit too harsh by some of the language that may be used at that time. Well, I'm just going to say we don't mean to offend anyone. And we are having adult conversations, and in the course of, you know, being passionate about what you're talking about, tensions rise and things are said. And we love each other regardless of whether we're going to yell or scream at each other. We're not trying to hurt anybody, and we're not trying to offend anyone at all either. So with all that being said, we want to go ahead and apologize ahead of time so everybody understand we're not trying to hurt your feelings at all. All right. Now, also on the show, we do encourage open dialogue, and we'd like to hear everyone's opinion. So please respect everyone's time to speak if you are on the air live with other callers, which means do not talk over each other. I know we have some callers and, you know, they have a habit of doing that. We're cracking down a little hard on that now. So anyway, let's respect everybody's chance to speak because we want to hear your opinion just like you hear theirs. And if everybody's talking at the same time, no one really, a point may be made and that we all may miss because everyone is talking and yelling and screaming at the same time, okay? Make sure your responses are short and sweet and to the point. You know, I know some statements and comments, you know, take a little longer than others, but not everything to come out your mouth. Please don't make it that long, okay? Because we want to get as many comments and callers in as we can, okay? No personal attacks are allowed. We are adults, and I would like for us to conduct ourselves in such a manner. So don't be calling each other names, okay? Especially if you can't take it. You know, some people like to start stuff and then run and hide. Don't do that. Okay, don't do that. We're not going to tolerate any of that. And we're not going to tolerate any other stuff. Now, if any of these are guidelines are violated, we will go ahead and we will not hesitate to mute you. I know some people feel that, you know, gets out of control, but let me be the judge of that, okay? Let me be the judge of that. But yes, I would not hesitate to mute you, and as Joe like to say, tase, because that's my favorite word. I like to tase you, and I don't hesitate to tase you now. Y'all, you know, a lot of listeners don't realize when someone has been muted because I don't publicize it. But believe you me, they are muted and tased, however you want to call it, quite often. Okay, so that's all I'm going to throw out there on that one right now. Well, okay, we got all the guidelines out the way, and we got every the other little before the show starts things out the way. So now we just going to go ahead and play our little commercial that we usually play. Enjoying life, I see you out there. Thank you for joining us today. And when I come back in about 30 seconds, we're going to go ahead and get the quote of the day in. Then we're going to go ahead and get talking about what we want to talk about today. We're going to get started on our conversation. All right. So I see everybody in about 31 seconds.
The first in the Just Know series of inspirational fiction novels, No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress, is heartwarming and emotionally engaging. You will be challenged and changed as you read the gripping story of Trinae Sloan, a young, single mother torn between her misplaced faith and her children's philandering father, and what's best for everyone involved. No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress will be available in both paperback and ebook formats March 13th at Amazon.com.
All right. Now we're talking about right there, No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress. Yes. And it comes out March the 13th. And we want to go ahead and support the sister because she's doing wonderful things. And you know, you always have to support our own because if we don't support them, nobody else will. And it's just that simple. So let's go ahead and make that kind of stuff happen, okay? All right. Oh, Lord. Now, since we have that out the way, let's go ahead and knock the quote of the day out. And, you know, I thought about it. And said, what would be a good quote of the day? And you know, being that this week, the shows this week are geared toward our kids for the majority, I found one that really stood out to me. And here it is. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Boy, now that says a whole lot. And I think a lot of parents actually need to go back and read that right there. They really do. Let's say it again. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I mean, that says a whole lot, a whole lot. And especially our younger parents, that's out of Proverbs 22, chapter 22, verse 6, King James Version. You know, that says a whole lot. It really does. For all parents that feel, you know, they have their own method or what have you, they need to go back and really check that out. You know, just don't read that verse. Read the whole chapter, the whole book of Proverbs, and you'd be surprised at the things you'll learn and find out. I mean, it's amazing. But then again, we got to read, right? You know, black folk, we don't like to read, especially not now. You know, we got videos and we got movies and we got Netflix. You know, I turn to read, and they made a movie on it. I know a lot of people say, did they make a movie? Yeah, all right. You keep looking for the movies. But anyway, train the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Once again, Proverbs 22:6 of the King James Version of the Bible. All right. Now that we have the quote of the day out of the way, and y'all marinate on that a little bit. But here's something I want to go ahead and start the show off with. And we had a little discussion on this last week, in fact. And I thought it was very interesting because when the cop, what's his name, Dorner, was on the run, you know, there was rumors out that they had drones in the sky looking for him. You know, like, no, they wouldn't do that. No. Well, I don't know. Because apparently Attorney General Eric Holder does not rule out drone strike scenario in the United States. Of course, he's saying it is not entirely ruling out a scenario which a drone strike would be ordered against Americans on U.S. soil. Oh, my goodness. You know, and I know a lot of y'all think, man, we be talking on here when things be said like that. We be talking about conspiracy theories and things we make up out of our mind. But here it is right here. And it's in black and white. It really is. The Attorney General himself says, you know, it's not above ruling out that a scenario would present itself to where they would use a drone strike against Americans. Not across the pond anywhere, but on U.S. soil. Oh, my goodness. What is it coming to? What is it coming to, really? Now, of course, it is believed that it has never been done previously. But and it could only see it being considered in an extraordinary circumstance. Well, here's my question. Who's going to decide what is the extraordinary circumstance? You know, it's one of those things, Big Brother's watching, but who's watching Big Brother? So who's going to make this decision that we're going to bring drones and use them on our own people? And it was just in the news recently, in fact, that there was a drone sighting in New York City, you know, flying over the city of New York. A pilot said he saw one. So is it as, I guess, news as it should be, or we just don't know about it? But anyway, I'm just putting it out there, y'all. And the Obama administration has said targeting Americans overseas with drones is only permitted when the U.S. government determines a suspect to be an imminent threat to the United States and when capture would not be feasible. Additionally, all applicable laws must apply. Now, once again, who's watching Big Brother? Now, you know, they're not saying, they're basically saying if they're overseas and they think there's a threat to the United States, they're going to send the drones after them. So if they miss them overseas and they should happen to come back to the States, is that setting up precursor for the use of drones on American soil? I think it may be. I think it just might be. Because the government, man, the government, I don't know. The government is getting kind of fishy lately. That's what I'm saying. The government is getting kind of fishy. Because, you know, it's crazy. How would you even consider that, whether it's extraordinary or not? I mean, how would you consider that on your own people, on your own homeland? You know, that goes back to the back in the days where, you know, we killed our own just to survive, right? That's what it's going to now. Sounds like it. I'm pasting the link to that article in the chat room if anybody want to go and read the complete article. You know, you can get your own interpretation off of that. Because I don't know. I don't know. I guess you basically have to be careful. Have to be careful. That you do. You have to be careful because they didn't put it out there that there is a chance that drones will be used on our own people if the circumstances present themselves. And as I mentioned before, who's going to decide when is the circumstances necessary? Oh boy, the more technological advanced we become, the worse it seems. The worse it seems, I'm telling you. Oh, Lord have mercy. But anyway, now I just thought I'd put that out there. You know, they did have said that drones can be used on us if necessary. So if you're out there doing something you don't have no business and the government think it's not a good thing, then, hey, here come the drones. Here come the drones. Woo! Well, I tell you, that's a scary thing. That is a very, very, very scary thing. All right. We're going to move on from that subject there. Now, if you want to talk about it, that's fine. We can talk about that before we get into the show. Okay, once again, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Eric Jackson. And to join the conversation, you give me a call at 347-838-8622. Or you can join me in my chat room. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Eric Jackson 62 and join me in my chat room, or just go to www.blogtalkradio.com and go to the search box and put in Mr. Talk, and it'll come right on up for you. You can send me an email at ericletstalk@gmail.com. You know, I'll be more than happy to hear from you and answer you there. Or go to my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com, and leave me a comment if you have any ideas for a subject or something you want to hear us talk about here on the show. Hey, just leave it there. I'm there about 800 times a day, so trust me, I will get it. And if you want me to send you a message back, I'll do that also. It's not hard, y'all. And I'm also on Twitter at Driven4FORLife62. All right. Now that we have all that great stuff out the way, let's go and get on the topic of what we need to be talking about today, and that's teen suicide and gun violence. Because we need to talk about that. And if you're noticing, everything is flowing in together. Now, yesterday, we talked about bullying. Okay, so now we're going to talk about teen suicide and gun violence. And now, there was a piece of it that we didn't get into yesterday, which was cyberbullying, which, you know, I wouldn't mind getting into today because it all leads into the same thing, really. You know, our kids are out of control. I know everybody gonna say, "Well, not my kids." Well, if everybody said their kids, if everybody's kids weren't in control, we wouldn't have the problems that we have now with bullying and cyberbullying. Man, I tell you, that is, woo. You know, I know yesterday I was saying, well, you know, words don't hurt, but apparently, to some kids, it's really painful to hear certain things, to read things about themselves on the computer. You know, I think it's really cowardice to be a bully, number one, but to actually sit there and use a computer to write some things about people you don't know, you know, that's even worse. You know, that is just below being low. It really is. It really is. And you know, sometimes you just like, wow. But it happens. It happens. And, you know, there have been a couple of instances where kids have read stuff or things about themselves. You know, they read things about themselves on the internet and have actually committed suicide. You know, and we're not talking about adults. We're talking about teenagers, kids. And, you know, sometimes just being a kid, let's be honest, being a kid and a teenager, especially a teenager, is hard as it is normal. You know, you have your hormones raging. You know, you have all kind of things going on. Your body is going funny. You know, some of your feet longer than the rest of your body. Your head is bigger than your body. You know, and you have so much going on, let alone someone else bothering you or making you feel uncomfortable about something. You know, so, yes, I do believe that teen suicide is a very real issue today in the United States. And I'm sure it's, you know, it's just not the United States, but that's what we're going to talk about right now is the United States. You know, and the Centers for Disease Control say that it's the third leading cause of death. The third cause of behind only accidents and homicide of kids age, you know, people age 15 to 24. 15 to 24. So we're talking about our teenagers and our young adults. So what are we going to do about that, y'all? What can we do about this? How can we get to the point to where we can feel comfortable enough to know that our kids are not going to fall into one of these statistics? You know, and even worse, suicide is the fourth leading cause of death for children between the ages of 10 and 14. Between the ages of 10 and 14. The fourth leading cause of death for children. They haven't even started their lives yet, and they're already taking their own lives or considering it. Really? And you know, we go around and we I don't know. Sometimes I think we as parents, we close our eyes, we put on blinders to certain things. You know, and I think that's a lot of the problem. You know, we get so caught up in what we're doing as for ourselves and with our careers and our other priorities that we have, that we forget about our kids sometimes. We don't pay attention. When the signs are there, the symptoms are there, but we're so busy caught up with what we're doing, we forget to realize that we have a priority to our children. 1 in 12 teens has attempted suicide. 1 in 12. You know, why is a 5-year-old, suicide is the fourth leading cause of death among those 5 to 14 years old. Why is a 5-year-old thinking about killing themselves? They haven't even learned how to live yet, but we have 5-year-olds considering killing themselves. Why? You know, it's amazing. But you have those same parents that's walking around like nothing is wrong. You know, remember in the day when, I don't know, I may be putting myself out there on my age, but I'm going to tell you, remember the day when, back in the day when everybody would sit down around dinner and have that conversation, You know, nobody ate unless everybody sat around the table. And everybody and the parents would go around and, well, how was your day? What did you do in school today? What did you do today? And you had that conversation. So if something was wrong with your child, if something was wrong with you, the parents realized that. The parents, now what do? Hey, you know, most of the time, I don't even think most people use their dining rooms anymore except for special occasions, Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas. Other than that, so you plastered in front of a television eating. Or everybody eating at their own on specific time. Is this part of the reason why our kids are thinking about committing suicide? I know everybody wants to say, well, bullying plays a lot to do with it. But does it really? What about the foundation at home? What about the parents? Do the parents play a prominent role in this as well? Or should we leave it up to the schools to monitor these things? Or our doctors that we take all our kids to? No, we go to the doctor and tell us, well, he's a little depressed. He'll give him this little medication right here and he'll be okay. Then you have a walking zombie that's really thinking about killing themselves because they're not themselves anymore. As in words of Michael, as Michael would say, they have been transformed into zombies. So now you think they're getting better, but the medication is doing nothing but masking it. To eventually, once they run out of that medication, it's even worse now. It is. It's worse. Why? Why is that? You know, we're losing too many of our kids. Too many of our kids to suicide. over things like bullying, just regular bullying. But you know what? And here's another thing. Even though the physical bullying is something that a lot of us grew up with, but we really need to take a look at cyberbullying. You know, with the cell phones and texting, and of course computers, laptops, iPads, iPhones. You know, bullying has gotten so, I guess, advanced, if that's the word I want to use, advanced. To if you're not as a parent investigating, I know, here we go, I'm going to say it, you should be in your kids' business. Put it that way. I'm just going to put it out there. You should be in your kids' business. If they have iPhones, iPads, whatever, you should be finding out what's going on their phone, on their phones, on their pads, in their life, on the computer. No, go in their room and go through the room and find out what the hell they're doing. Oh, I understand. Some parents claim that, well, you know, you violating this, my child, I'm violating my child's privacy. Let me give you an alert here real fast. That is a child. You are the parent. They have no rights. You take care of them. You provide for them. Once they live in your house. So why are you talking about you violating their rights? What rights? And that's why we have a lot of these problems with our kids, especially when it comes to suicide, because we don't want to violate their rights, their privacy. But while you sitting there talking about you now don't want to violate, they out there on the verge of doing some terrible things to themselves. Terrible things. And then when it happens, first thing we want to yell is, well, I didn't know. Well, why the hell didn't you know? You in the house with them all the time, but you didn't know, huh? I'm just saying, y'all. Now, if you want to comment on anything I'm saying, that's no problem. Give me a call, 347-838-8622, and I'll be more than happy to chat it up with you. Today we are talking about teen suicide and gun violence. Hey, Jay Works, I see you out there, man. You know, and I'm just throwing a little of my thoughts out there right now. You have others or you disagree with me? I have no problem. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it, because I do believe, you know, a lot of this stuff that's going on with our kids, we are the reason as parents, because we're not doing what we need to do. Too many of us out there trying to be our damn children's friends. You know what I mean? We're trying to be their friends when you should be being a private investigator. Hell, go through their stuff. You buy it. Some of y'all out there let your kids go in the room, lock the doors, and now you really don't know what the hell going on. Why not? Why not? Then you want to complain about, well, my child was bullied. You know why your child was bullied? Because you had no idea what's going on with that child. You probably put a stop to it. But since you want that, you let the child go in his room, lock his door, him or her, lock the door, get on their computer. No, get on their little cell phone, text all night or talk all night. You don't know what's going on with that child. You know, you don't know whether your child is having suicidal thoughts. You know, whether your child is developing psychiatric disorders such as depression. You know, beginning to exhibit impulsive aggressive behavior. Bipolar disorder. And that certain anxiety, you know, has anxiety about certain things. You don't even know that because you're not even trying to stay in your kid's life. You're not trying to figure out what the hell going on with them because you're too caught up in your own little world. You know, and I know we argue about this a lot of time, but I still say it starts at home where the foundation. If the foundation is cracked, there is no foundation. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go here also. I just got to go here also. Single parent, a lot of people say, well, we have the single parent households now. Is that an excuse we can use? Hell no. Oh, Lord. You know, it's just one of those things that you just, man, I tell you, it just, I tell you. I'm calming down, y'all. I'm calming down. But do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you living in the house with these kids, you have no idea what your kids are doing. You don't. You know whether they're abusing drugs, they're doing alcohol, sipping on alcohol and what have you. But you know, it's strange. But as soon as something happened, like a Columbine or Sandy Hook, or we all up in arms then. Why are we up in arms then? It's too late. It is too freaking late. You know, I know we got this big old thing going on right now about guns and, you know, the access to guns and what happens. But you're so naive till you don't feel it can happen to you. I tell you, it's just crazy. Once again, if you want to join in the conversation, give me a call, 347-838-8622. And, you know, you can call and just listen in. Or if you want to make a comment, just press 1. I see you with your hand raised and bring you on in. But, this is something we need to talk about. It really is. This is something we need to talk about. And for some reason, we're not getting it. We aren't. As parents, we are not getting it anymore. We're not. But you know what? We need to. I don't know. I don't know, y'all. Maybe I'm just talking to myself today, but that's okay. You know, I think we need to really talk about this. Are you aware that males are 4 times more likely to die from suicide than females? Now, however, teen girls are more likely than teen boys to attempt suicide. You know what I mean? Is that a good thing? Hell no, that's not a good thing. That is a good thing, isn't it? At least we know. But how can we stop it? How can we stop it? What can we do to stop it? Now, the guys, the teenage guys now, let's go on and put it out. The teenage guys are more successful at committing suicide. Believe it or not. The boys accomplish their mission more. And, you know, and we've seen it. We've seen it in action with Columbine, Sandy Hook, you know, the tragedies like that, the Colorado. We've seen it because when boys do it, boys are more likely to choose a method that is more lethal and quick. So if we're slipping on recognizing that our kids are having issues, especially if it's a boy, you don't have much time. And it's whether it's from bullying or just being depressed or what have you, it doesn't matter. We are parents. We're missing the boat here. We're missing something that we can control. Now, 60% of all suicides in the United States make use of a gun. You hear me? Do you hear me? The boys use more guns. Boys often use guns. So 60% of the ones that do commit, they use guns. We're not talking, you know, and you wonder why we need to do, I'm sorry. No, they're not using assault rifles. I'm not going to go that route. They're using handguns 9 times out of 10, unless it's to a stream like these, you know who I'm talking about. Listen to the streams. But yet, it doesn't really matter, y'all. It doesn't really matter what the hell they're using. Don't. Because the fact is, they're still killing themselves. Whether it's a gun, girls like cutting themselves. You know, that's the main way they try. You know, they cut themselves. Some people say, they're just trying to get some attention. Really? They're just trying to get some attention? But yet, since they're trying to get some attention, you ignore them even more. Or overdosing on your medicine, your pills. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just voicing my point of view on this thing, because somebody needs to. We all get up in arms about, you know, when somebody goes on a shooting rampage and, you know, or somebody get beat down by a bully. But all this I do really feel that all this is preventable. It is. It's preventable. You know, but as parents, number one, you got to be the investigator, though. You just can't sit back and take a child for a word for what they want. I don't care how honest you think your child is. I don't care. You still need to be, as some people say, a meddling parent. We're not talking about, you know who your kids are hanging out with. Know what kind of activities your kids are doing. Don't just say, okay, go ahead and go with John and Bob. You ain't never met Bob in your damn life. But yet you're going to let your kid go out there and run around with Bob. Why? Why? So next thing you know, your child and Bob, they sitting in the back of, they decide they're dressed up like they're in the Wild Wild West with cowboy hats, running around with shotguns under their jackets, finna do some crazy things because you let him hang out with Bob because you didn't bother to investigate and figure out what the hell was going on with your child. Okay, all right. All right, I'm gonna shut up, y'all, because I see I'm probably upsetting some of y'all right about now. But I'm just telling you the way I feel about it. And apparently the statistics are proving that this is happening. Okay, I see someone with their hand raised. Let me go on and bring them in so y'all can hear somebody else's voice besides mine. Oh, no. Hey, man, what's going on? It's Wednesday. What's happening with you, Mr. Lowe?
You got it, goddammit. You got it. It's a wonderful Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
It's a wonderful Wednesday. I was listening to you stand on top of your soapbox and beat your chest to death.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know,
sometimes you have to.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I really do believe that, you know, that is part of what, you know, kids killing themselves. And this gun violence thing, I think, you know, if parents were to do what they, you know, our parents used to do back in the day, we could keep a lot of this from happening.
I agree. If you, you know, if you put a child in a room with a television and let them watch as much TV as they want to, and you never really give them any guidance. I mean, hell, let's go all the way back to these badass kids that you see in the PX or Walmart or whatever. Laying on the floor and you scared as hell to hit them because you know somebody gonna call the police, you know, and they embarrass the hell out you. You know, I can personally go from my own experience. Before you got in the store, you got briefed. You don't touch nothing. You don't want nothing. If you embarrass me, that's your ass. You know.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, these children nowadays, man, I mean, I call it spade a spade. First of all, they dumb down and they desensitized. Let's go ahead and call it what it is. They're both. I mean, you got a kid that's, and I call him a kid, but he was a grown man because he had a child. You know, you mentioned something about that, putting a bleach in a bottle.
Yeah.
Baby, that was a grown man, 20 years old.
Yep, 20 years old.
Years old. That was a grown man doing some dumb shit with a baby, and that's the last thing he needed was a baby. But never been taught anything. See, these crackhead kids that's having children, these are the remnants of the crackheads and the Ritalin kids having babies now, you know.
Wow, the Ritalin babies.
That's what they are. They are the remnants of the Ritalin kids. I mean, you know, hell, this Ritalin crap got hot and heavy in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, you know. And I would have to question someone that could take their child to a person, and this person don't know your child from Adam, but says, well, you should put them on this medication because they're too active.
Well, you know what that is, right? That's because the parent don't know their child's the damn self.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what that is.
Absolutely. You can't. I mean, man, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, what I was about to say was you have some parents that call and say, I can't handle my child. No, I just can't do nothing with him. Why can't you?
Mm-hmm.
You the parent. You can't
Absolutely.
Do anything with your child. You know, like my quote of the day was, you know, like the quote of the day, you know, train a child.
Mm-hmm.
Train a child the way he should go. I mean, what's so hard about that? We're too busy, you know, we're too busy trying to be friends. You know, let's be hangout buddies. No, you need to be the parent first.
Yeah.
You need to be that investigator, that detective.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead,
people
man.
People
are too
caught up in themselves, though, man. I mean, you know, real talk, when you become a parent, a lot of dumb shit that you thought about prior to being a parent, you got to let that bullshit go. You know, a lot of stupid shit that you had on you. Oh, well, yeah, I'll go to Europe and walk and backpack through Europe. And, you know, just any dumbass thing that you thought about, any inhibition that you had that was kind of outside of the box, that could have been something that maybe when your child is grown, that's something that you could strive for. But as far as the gap that you have from birth to 18 or after graduating college, that time right there is specifically for your children or child or what have you to understand their place in the world. And it's up to you to put in them the values that they should have. It's up to you to pass along exactly what they need to go forth and be successful in society, you know. And I always say, I don't give a damn if you had $10 billion in the bank. When you die, if not one person is at your funeral, it meant nothing. Absolutely nothing. You lived a whole life, you wasted your damn time. You know, I know plenty of poor people that never had any money, but they had plenty of love, you know. And it showed when those people died because there was a whole community that came together and had to mourn at that one time. But somebody that's just, I mean, everybody now is all about self. And that's the concept that people live by now, you know. Well, I'm only concerned about me, and if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't concern me or what I have right in front of me, then I don't give a damn about it, you know. I have children, but you know, I still have my career. I have to do this and that for my career, and you know, I have to get this other position. And hey, man, all of that's fine, well and dandy, but it comes a time when you have to sit down and reevaluate what's ultimately important in life. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because those people at work, they'll smile at you, but you know, I watched a movie once called the Corporate Men, and all these guys were working at this place, and they were all successful, and they lived a great life, and then all of a sudden they had to start cutting people. And you should have seen how those people were pretty much crabs in a bucket going ratting on each other, snitching, as you were. Because I went back and listened to the show yesterday. Snitching on everybody. One guy that had been there for a long time, you know, they found out that he was fired. And the only thing that the guy that had just found out was, well, hey, did you hear anything about me? Damn! You know?
Yeah.
That's the society that we live in now. People are not, I'll say, programmed, because we were programmed to care about each other. You know, it was just in you. And now it's not in you. The only thing you have to do is live and do whatever the hell you want to do, and who cares what anyone else thinks, and you'll be okay.
Hmm.
You know, I don't agree with it.
Yeah, I don't agree with it either. I really don't. So what do you think about parents that allow the kids to go in the room and lock the doors?
Well, I will say this. Now, I had my own room and everything, and so I closed my door, and my parents didn't have any issue with that. But if they get pissed off at me or something, and I walk, storm off, and if I can make it to the room after I stormed off and try to slam the door, oh, man, that would have been hell to pay right there. Wasn't no such thing as your privacy. What the fuck is privacy? Motherfucker, are you crazy? You got no privacy here. This is my house. You know? that privacy leads into doing shit in your room you don't have any business doing. You in your room getting high and everything else, you know?
My point exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Damn, video game desensitizes you. All you see on the video game is death, death, death. Oh, well, if you get killed on the game, you can come back to life and go play again. You and I both know that shit is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. See, now.
You know.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, and that's my point. Okay, so but you and your parents, y'all had your parents knew you. Put it that way, your parents knew
you.
You know, I'm talking about those parents that, you know, like you say, going by the kid anything they want. You know, let's just go in your room. You know, when you come home, they don't even speak to each other. You know, the kid is in the room, the door is locked all the time. You have no idea what's going on with your child. You know, the child, and like I was saying earlier, the child may be exhibiting some suicidal, you know, traits. But if you're not spending that time with your child, how do you know? How you know? And I seriously believe, you know, with incidents like Columbine and all them other ones, It's got to be something wrong with the foundation. I don't care what nobody say. You know, I just believe that.
I agree with that. It's something wrong with the foundation if, first and foremost, you have to go and get a prescription drug to put your child on. There's something wrong with the formation, for the foundation right then. I'm sorry. But there's no way. There's nothing you can tell me to make me believe that. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even have those problems. I wouldn't have those problems, first off. You dig? And as far as I'm concerned, you know, Sally Mae on the outside looking in, seeing my child loving to play and be a child and all of this and all of that, and say, oh, he or she has too much energy. Oh, man, you should do something with that. No, I should let him go outside. That's what I should do.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like that old saying, pressure will bust a pipe. You know, if a child has too much energy, hell, they're not going to sit still.
Ooh, look out now. Look out now. Oh, but you know, that's the new thing, though. The child ain't sitting still. Something got to be wrong with him.
Yeah.
You know, something
wrong. Yeah. And I told my story before that I have a relative that did take Ritalin, and, you know, hey, he said out his own mouth, shit, all this shit did was got him feel like he was high. Yeah, you sleep all the time, and it's, yeah, get the fuck out of here. You gonna tell me that I'm going to give my baby something like that? You crazy.
Hmm.
Yeah, and you got people doing it. Welfare chicks doing it because they don't want to deal with their kids.
Oh, my goodness.
And
look
sometimes you get more sometimes you get more money if you put them on some type of medication, which is crazy, man. You're handicapping your child. Everything that you do in life from the birth certificate on is a paper trail and nothing more.
Mm.
You know, I mean, hell, you some welfare broad. And, you know, your lazy ass really ain't messed up about work, excuse me. And so, you know, you go and you get your kid put on all of this stuff, and the next thing you know, them people coming to you and telling you that, we got this program, too, we got that program, too. All of this stuff is just building up, and it's going to follow this child for the rest of their life. And if they finally get themselves together and, you know, go to school and want to do something quote-unquote great, like, I don't know, work for something as terrible as the CIA or something, those people look all the way back in their jacket, it's not going to happen. You were a loose cannon coming up. So, you know, we can dress you up, but, hell, it's still in you. That's what those people are going to think.
Hmm. Well, you know, and I'm glad you said that, as parents, should we really be questioning the medication that doctors are recommending for our kids? Can we? That's leading to some of the suicide attempts or suicides totally. The medication that they're taking,
it's already been proven.
Oh my!
These people that's going off with this Columbine shooting and the fake ass Sandy Hook and all of this and that other stuff. It's already been proven. All those kids are on some form of medication, man. And you know, like I always say, if a slimy-ass attorney or doctor can make a buck, guess what he's going to do? He's going to make a buck. Hands down.
Mm.
And so those people, I just read the other day that in, I think it was Haiti, they are promoting private prisons in Haiti now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know what's coming. We got to get the population up in these prisons by any means.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an analogy, but it's the exact same thing, man. Hell, a doctor, if I'm paying him to push my prescription drug, hey, he's going to push my prescription drug to everyone he can. And, you know, everybody know that fucking lawyers are crooked, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Ooh. Somebody just sent me something, and wow. The death rate, the suicide rate for black children aged 10 to 15 has increased 223%. You know, that is just crazy.
It is. It's stuff that you never hear about, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, so is that saying that this is crazy, man? You know, that's saying there's an issue somewhere. You can't, you know what, and you know, usually we beat up on the kids, but you can't blame that on the kids. You can't.
Right. Right. One thing that I do know is you know, the black community still suffers from that old stigma of, you know, well, that's just, man, don't nobody do that but white people. You know, and you're seeing more and more of us do these things, and we don't acknowledge it, and we don't even try to find out why.
Mm.
You know, even something as the DC sniper, for example, everybody that I talked to, and you yourself, you just knew there was a white person. Those big time psychiatrists and all these and that people that the FBI went out and sought out find out, well, let's get a profile of them. They know the white man.
Mm.
Right? Right or wrong?
Right.
They know
right.
it was a white
right.
man.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so like I say, we are not tapping into these situations, man. We're not tapping into them and say, hey, let's find out what's going on with this. You know, let's see if we can build on this and get our children away from this situation. You know, this is a situation that we're really not used to. And if we still stuck under that, you know, hell, that's just white people. White, that's some crazy-ass white person did something like that. Then we'll never have we'll never be able to fix it if we never admit it or even try to fix it. You know, Michael had a damn good point yesterday, and he kept saying it. He was a broken record with it as far as stop snitching. I remember a few years ago that a judge made it illegal to wear a stop snitching T-shirt in the courthouse. I think this was somewhere on the East Coast. And the people were fined for wearing the T-shirt because it was a form of intimidation. Imagine that. See, the psychological things that we go through in our neighborhoods, you know.
Wow.
Never would have thought it. Because, I mean, first thing you think of when somebody say stop snitching is when you were growing up, your mom and dad and them, everybody said, don't be a tattletale. Stop being a tattletale, you know. Stop telling every goddamn thing. Right or wrong?
You're right.
Absolutely. And that just carried over into being adults. You know, we still live by some of those credos, whether good or bad.
Wow. Wow, you brought it all the way around, didn't you? You're right.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
You know, I still say, when you know what? And listening to you talk, some things ran through my mind. And here's one of them. When things happen, such as Columbine, Sandy Hook, you know, do our parents, especially in the black community, sit down and talking with our kids about, you know, what's causing this? Why does this happen? Or are we just going home hugging our kids? I love you, and that's it.
I think, fine.
Don't get me wrong. Hugging your kid is fine. That, I mean, I have nothing wrong with that. But when things like this happen, shouldn't we be sitting down, talking to our kids about why this certain thing happened, and to see what did kids take on it? What's on their minds? Shouldn't we be doing things like that?
Absolutely, man. Hey, if you can't have an open dialogue with your child, then, you know, you're pretty much wasting your time as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you never sit down and say, hey, you know what, what's going on with you? How you doing? Is there anything that you would like to discuss with me or whatever the case may be? You know, and the worst thing that you could do is go there overbearing, you know, or too compassionate, too baby, you know, talking to this, and let's say that it's someone that's, let's say, 9, 10 years old, and you want to talk to them like they're a child, but you babyfy them, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You turn the conversation into you talking to a 3 or 4-year-old, you know, they're not going to respect that either. So the thing is, as a parent, you have to grow with your child, you know. You're still an adult, but you still have to grow as far as being a parent. I mean, if you're a brand-new parent, you had nieces and nephews, you still don't know all the ins and outs of parenting until you get your own. You know, it's different, and that's just a part of it. So, no, I don't think that we do come home and when those situations occur, you know, you sit down and you actually talk about them and you ask, hey, well, what do you think about it? How do you feel about it? And the answer shouldn't be, oh, I just think they're crazy. You know, and you leave it at that. You should go more into it and find out, well, why do you think they're crazy? What do you think made this happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That's what I'm talking about right there. Woo! Lord have mercy. All right, y'all, I got Mr. Law on the line. We're talking about this teen suicide and gun violence. If you want to join in the conversation, just give us a call, 347-838-8622, and we'd be more than happy to hear your side of the story as well. Hey, the more people chime in, the better off we'll be. You know, especially if you have kids, what do you think? If you have kids out there, what would your technique be? What are you doing to keep your kid from considering committing suicide or going out there getting involved in a gang and using guns or what have you? Now, let us hear from you. 347-838-8622. I want to ask you this question, Lo. Now, mm-hmm. with suicide and depression and all that, is this causing our kids to join gangs and be involved with more guns, gun violence, and things of that nature? Is it depression,
really,
or is it just, as we've been saying the whole time, just a lack of a foundation at home?
Well, really, man, I kind of would say it's both of them because, you know, if first and foremost, if you don't have that family foundation at home, then you're going to seek for it for the rest of your life. You're going to be looking for it, you know, for the rest of your life.
Uh-huh.
And as far as, you know, the emotional side of not feeling a part of something special to you,
uh-huh.
and you know that'll take a toll on you also. I mean, it's the exact same thing. Is your entire family gets together and you're the middle child, and they're only really talking about and discussing what your older sibling did and what your younger sibling did, you know. And you did something great yourself. You know, you're kind of emotionally detached because you're there, but then at the same time, you're not there. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And people join gangs, from what I understand, to be a part of something. You know, just to feel that they are a part of something greater than they are, whether good or bad.
Hmm.
You know, if you grew up in a neighborhood that was rough and you really didn't want to grow up and have to fight people and all these things, and you knew the safest thing for you to do was to join in with, you know, 17 to 25 guys that was, you know, your age or a little older, and you know, you're a teenager and all of y'all run together, and if somebody have a problem with you, then they have a problem with everybody, then 9 times out of 10, you're going to look into that. As opposed to being that lone guy out there by yourself, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Okay, let's see. I got a question that just came in. It says, let's see, as a single mother, not by choice, raising a male teen, what do you guys recommend that I should do to get my son to open up more?
Go first, Mr. Talk.
Well, I mean, you say raising a male teen. You know, that's, oh, man. As
yeah.
a single mother, that is hard. You know, males, you know, we, oh boy, male teenagers. Huh? It's been so long since I've been a male teenager. The only thing I can say is you just have to talk to them. I mean, just constantly keep the lines of communication up, open. When he's ready to let you know things, he will come to you as long as those lines of communication are open. Now, that doesn't mean that you just lay back and wait for him to come to you. As I've been saying before, you still have to be that detective, if that's a good word, the detective. You know who his friends are. You know what he likes to do, hopefully. I mean, if you have the lines of communication open, you just can't just young teenager, male. Just keep the lines
of
communication.
How old is the guy? First, I mean, you know, if he's 13, that's one thing, but If he's 17, that's totally different, you know.
Let's see. 18.
18. Oh, wow. That's a grown-ass man.
So I'm saying don't press him for information because he, you know, at 18, you know.
At 18, you're only going to receive what they want you to get unless it's something that they don't have control over. So my advice for that is to first and foremost let your child know that first and foremost, we're not friends. I'm not your friend. I'm your parent. And I want you to understand that, you know, if there are situations that you need to come to me with, then it shouldn't be a problem. As a matter of fact, the best example I can give is Sarah Flores. Sarah Flores said, hey, if you out there and you're doing something that you're not supposed to do or whatever the case may be, if somebody messing with you, you bust them in their, whatever, if you get in trouble, let me be the first person to know. We can figure out how we're going to work this thing. You know, if there's a situation, whether good or bad, let me be the first person to know. Your child will respect the fact that you are their anchor. They can come to you whether the situation is good or bad or just, you know, hey, just there for a regular conversation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be the parent, but you definitely don't want them to think that you're friends.
Mm. Let's see. We have another question, but I have to let I need to let Big Chris in also. Here's the other question. Should I be concerned if he says things like he doesn't want to grow old?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. You got young people that say that all the time, man. I mean, you know, hey, matter of fact, I'm looking at some saggy buns right now, but
we really didn't need to know that. Okay.
The best thing I can say against that is what my grandfather, may he rest in peace, said a long time ago. He knew a lady that said that she didn't want to get old and gray. She said that a lot, and she wound up dying very young. You know, you can speak things upon yourself. You know, everybody want to be young. You want to be 21 all your life. You want to party and club all night long and you know, do whatever that comes after that. But no one wants to grow older, and with age should come wisdom, you know. And you know, I'm not cool anymore. I'm not, as my daddy said, I'm not hip anymore, you know. No one wants to feel that way. And, hell, that's obvious because we got 40-year-old guys that's still trying to hold on to a bunch of stupid stuff.
That's
so
true. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let me get Biggs in here, see what he had to say. All right, Big Chris, happy Wednesday to you, man. You're on the air. Hello? You there? Okay.
Breaking
he must
up.
Be.
Sound like he's breaking
be.
Up.
Yeah.
Walk over here.
Uh-oh. You there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, yeah. I agree with the caller, what he said. You know, hey, we parents need to stop trying to be their children's friend. I see this. I say this a lot to people, and I get jumped on for that every time. You need to stop being your daughter or your son's friend because when it comes to disciplining them, they do something wrong. They confused. Okay, what is this? Is this my best friend being, you know, disciplining me, telling me on my role, or is this my parent? You know, that's all I was going to say about that. And then the age thing. Yeah, I didn't quite understand what he was going with that, though. That's about it. What he meant by people don't want to get old. I didn't quite understand that.
Mm. Wow. Okay, let me bring Joe in. Say, all right, Joe, you're on the air.
What's the topic? Things are too calm around here.
What's going on?
What's happening here? What's the topic?
We're talking about teen suicide and gun violence, but right now we have a question on the table.
Uh-huh.
And the question is, raising a male teen, what do you guys recommend that I should do to get my son to open up more? Should I be concerned if he says things like he doesn't want to grow old?
that's what's the question? Should the parent be concerned if the son doesn't want to grow old?
Yes, that was the question.
Well, what else was part of the question? I'm sure that's not, that can't be bothersome by itself.
Where you being at, Joe? All right, here we go. Here we go.
Okay,
wait a minute. Calm down. Here you go. Okay. I'm a single mother, not by choice, raising a male teen. What do you guys recommend that I should do to get my son to open up? That was the first question.
Mm-hmm.
Then we answered that. She asked, should I be concerned if he says things like he doesn't want to get old, to grow old?
Okay, but the topic is about teen suicide, so has the son shown signs of some sort of emotional imbalance or something? Because who wants to grow old? I mean, who wants to get old like Enloe? Please. Who wants to do that?
Joe, you going to cut it out, man.
I'm cutting in and out?
You're going to cut it out.
Oh, I'm sorry, old man.
Yeah, Montana, not that far, bro. Well, you know what? The best thing about me being an old man is I still have a great libido.
Okay. All right. We're not even going there right now. Okay.
Yeah.
No. We're dealing with the question at hand. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a question.
What you're saying is he's a loner to a certain degree.
Right.
Mm.
No. Why should she be concerned? Who wants to grow old and how to get him to open up? You talk to your boy. Apparently she doesn't have a relationship with her son, so, I mean, it's almost kind of late, but you got to, like we were talking about before, you've got to make your children feel safe, you have to make them feel secure, you have to make them feel loved, and by doing that, you take time away from whatever it is the parents are doing when they're home, and they talk to the boy, they play with the boy, too. When I go over to friends' houses, relatives' houses, and they have kids, the kids like me. You know why? Because I play with them, I talk to them, I kid around with them. And apparently parents, you know, they're tired of their kids, you know, and it's hard to raise children because they're always looking for attention. So,
but this is a single child.
Huh?
He's a single child.
Yeah, for any kind of kid. I mean, look, it's hard to raise children, especially if you're a single parent.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the kids, they want attention, you know, when they're very, very young. And, when a parent comes home from work, they don't have the inclination to play all the time and everything. So sometimes, you know, I kind of like, I understand what parents are going through because they have to take care of the child 24/7.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Big Chris.
No, I have a quick question. I'm texting somebody to get into the show. What's the name of the show exactly? They want to know what's the name of the show.
Name of the show is Let's Talk. But what you tell them to do, just go to www.blogtalkradio.com and in the search box, just put Mr. Talk.
One word.
Yeah, one word. Okay. Well, Shasta was ready to come in. I guess her phone broke down, so I guess she'll call me back in a minute.
I don't really think it's as hard as a lot of people make it out to be as far as being a parent, man. I mean, you know, like I said, you got to start from day one. From day one, you know, it's just, quote-unquote, the ground rules have to be laid. The foundation has to be laid from day one. You know, if the foundation isn't laid, let's say, your kids start out 1, 2, 3 years old, and you let them hit at you, and you let them say little cute cuss words and all of this stuff and that stuff, and you let them, you know, kind of run freely. And then when they get a little older, let's say they get all the way up to 9, 10 years old, and now you want to reel them in a little bit, you waited too late. You know, this child already has its own personality. instead of you building and shaping that personality, this person already is his own individual.
All right. Okay. Well, I think at 18, basically just leave the lines of communication open, and he'll come let you know he wants to talk. I mean, at 18,
yeah,
pretty much. Shasta done hung up again. I was about to bring her in again. But
yeah, just don't force yourself on them, please. Because the more you try to push yourself on them, the less they're going to want to deal with you. You know, you just have to go into it the right way, and don't go in it being their friend. You know, just be understanding, be open, be a sponge.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with Lo.
Wow, great, Joe. Shasta, you there?
Yeah.
So to make you feel better.
Okay. I heard the question, and I don't know. As far as the little boy questioning about getting old, I wouldn't necessarily say that meant he was a loner. Maybe he was just a curious child. So I might explain to my child, you know, just about human life. You know, we're a kid once. You have one time to be in this state of mind. You know, mama was once there. I wish I could go back and do it again and just explain some of the reality of living life. You know, explain all the good things about being your age now and the responsibility about growing older and having to deal with some of the things that I do. So maybe it's just curiosity. Just sit down and talk to your child about things that they wonder about. So
okay, well, this child is 18 years old.
No, nobody said that to me.
Yeah,
yeah,
I didn't hear
a young man.
Somebody being 18.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a young man.
Yeah, this is not a small kid.
Oh, I'm thinking it's a boy.
No.
Me too. I didn't think it was an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, either way.
And she said he's a loner because, you know, he just hangs out by himself. He's the only child. Let's see.
Well,
so.
Chester, you wasn't too far off because, I mean, yet you know, still and yet you got to put it out there, hey, you know, I've been your age, and, you know, I didn't ever want to grow up, or I couldn't wait to grow up, either one of the two. Either you was ready to grow up, and you wanted to grow up right now, or, hey, I don't ever want to grow up. You know, to hell with having responsibility, one or the other. So you weren't far off. I mean, the thing is, you just got to sit them down and talk to them. Hey, you know what? This is life. And I think the best thing to buy a child, a small child, is a goldfish because – you know, they get that fish, they love that fish, and you tell them the day when they walk in there, that fish is floating and not swimming anymore. That child lived, I mean, that fish lived his natural course of life, you know. And I think that's one way to incorporate some of the things that happen in life. You live, wake up in the morning, you go feed the fish, you feed yourself. The fish gets bigger, you get bigger. And one day, hey, the fish pass away, you pass away also.
That's right.
I mean, it may be corny, but, hey, it's close to reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You really can't argue with that thought process right there. I mean, that's simple.
But at 18, though, I should have been and instilled some of some lifelong lessons into your head by the time that you're 18.
Well, still, at 18, you know, teenagers, he's still a teenager. Even though the law may say he's grown, he's still a teenager. So you still have time to educate and educate him. You see what I'm saying?
Hold on.
Let's bring. Yeah.
No, I'm thinking now what the parent's talking about. Yeah, 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
He's a loner. That means he doesn't have friends. He doesn't want to grow old. He's suffering.
Suffering from what?
He's suffering because he's isolated, because he doesn't have friends. And he is thinking about perhaps committing suicide.
Really?
You really?
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Now it's making sense to me.
I wouldn't doubt that either.
Okay, hold on. Hold on for a minute. Let me bring 408 in. Oh, I know who this is.
Who is it?
Goofy.
Oh.
First
all
right, Goofy.
Okay.
You're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys doing on this wonderful hump day? And ladies, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Oh, Jesus, Shasta.
Whatever.
I would have called in earlier, but unfortunately it's hump day, so we have to honor that day in the only way I know how to honor it.
Okay. So let's what you got to say first, Goofy, before I get back to Joe.
I just think suicide is stupid. I mean, it's something implanted in their head thinking that, you know, when they die that people are still going to remember them and da-da-da-da, or either they're trying to get out of, you know, somebody's hair. And I just think these kids just need to be talked to, need to realize, these kids need to go to a funeral and see what happens when somebody takes their life and see the reactions of the mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and see if they want to have their family go through the crap like that. Now, if they're lonely, you know, nobody in the world loves them, they, you know, got shitted out here and now they have to walk, you know, before they crawl, you know, then by all means, kill yourself. But if not, you know, come on, man, be honest. Life is so precious. It is so precious.
Well,
you know how to live it right. Hey, come on, man.
I don't know if that'd be a good way of doing it, Goofy. They're taking them to a funeral?
Yeah. Let them see what happens.
I'm gonna commit suicide.
All right. Because they're already wanting to just, you know, take the easy way out. Well, after you die, there's a percussions, as the intelligent word says. And this is what happens after. You have to see this, seeing if you want to go ahead and do this.
Goofy, are you humping that hemp?
No, come on, man. I had a couple of Stella, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I mean, come on.
Yeah, because,
man.
I mean, you take them to a funeral, Goofy, and the only thing they're going to see is a person lying there in a casket, right? And people crying or whatever. But what is that going to prove to them? Some of them may think that's the coolest thing in the world. So you have defeated the purpose.
No, because when you hear stories of, like, you know, somebody telling, oh, you know, I miss, you know, little Kelly. We were best friends growing up and stuff, and she's always been there for me, and now I can't live life knowing the fact that my best friend's not there for me. You know, it'll get into their hearts, and it'll get into their mind realizing that they are important. You know what I mean?
You know what, though? This kid doesn't want to grow old, so if he goes, this particular kid goes to a funeral and hears the eulogies about how great he might have been, he just might want to commit suicide. Yeah, I mean, that shit, no, it won't scare him. It might encourage him to commit suicide because he's going to imagine a lot of people, you know, saying finally some nice things about him.
Well, obviously this kid needs help. This kid, you know what? How old is this kid? He's what?
18.
18.
Where's daddy at first? Let's back up. Where's daddy?
Tell that kid to come over here. I'll take him to Vegas and we'll and one weekend with me. Let's see if this little fucker wants to end up killing himself. Because if he does, believe me, I'll take him to the highest fucking casino. Well, I'll throw him off myself.
No, you're such a help, Goof.
Yeah, really? No. Yeah, but like I said, where is daddy? Where is daddy at? That's the question I have. I mean, you know.
I think we can assume daddy's not around.
Yeah, she said she was a single mother, so.
I got that, but damn, I mean, hell, I didn't grow up. My daughter didn't grow up in my house, but my daughter knew who the fuck I was, and I was in her life.
Okay, I'm going to say this, because being a parent, okay, because I'm reading.
You know what? You need to fix that dang old Obama phone you're using.
You want an Obama phone? Oh,
see, there she
Obama
go again.
Phone!
Told you. Let me bring Vernon in. Let me bring Vernon into the conversation. All right, Vernon, you're on the air, man.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, people? don't know it, man. I ain't got a lot of noise, though, but I'm driving. I didn't know if I had not a lot of noise with me or not.
No, you have a lot of noise.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, I have heard a lot of kids say different stuff about they didn't want to live, they didn't want to grow old. Most of them, a lot of times, they're looking for attention. You know, they want something that they can't get, and they want to make you feel bad, you know. It's a lot of different ways to look at it. They may not be just necessarily planning on killing themselves. I know, you know, sometimes that happens, but a lot of times they just looking for attention, man, and you know, trying to make you feel bad about something that they're wanting. You know, I've noticed that. I've dealt with that before.
Or could it be? I think maybe the mother should look at herself.
I'm in the wrong business. You know what I need to do? I need to have a business with a bunch of beautiful ladies. And when I get these self kids that are feeling sorry for themselves, have them pay me a certain amount of money. Let them go in a room and have those ladies pamper them for one day, and they'll come out feeling like a fucking better person. I'm in the wrong business, man. I swear to God.
You know what? You know what? And look, and somebody in the chat just said what just hit me with the same thing I thought about. We're looking at this all the wrong way. You know what it actually could be? He's afraid to die. He's afraid of death. Maybe he's been to too many funerals and it's just it just weighed on his mind to the point to where
that's
he's
possible.
Just scared of dying.
Well, that's possible.
That's possible.
Yeah,
that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, well, what's there to afraid to die for? Shit, that's the most easiest thing you could do in life.
At 18, we ain't thinking about that.
Shit, I remember when I was 18 and I was getting bullets shot at me and I was in the back of a Volvo, I was laughing my ass off because that was fucking cool, getting shot at. That was fucking 18-year-old kid, you know. That's the mentality of an 18-year-old
kid. Now, you picked
kid.
The right name for your fucking BTR shit.
Is it that funny?
Maybe. Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a lot of sick old people where he lives. He don't want to be like that.
Well,
anything.
No. No.
Maybe around a lot of sick old people or something.
You know what? That's one possibility. He's afraid of death. But remember now, this kid is a loner. Now, at that particular age, you're not a loner by choice. If you're a loner, it's because you could be having some sort of fears of death. But I would say most of the time, you can't mingle with people. They don't want you around. And that could probably be a good cause for you thinking of taking your own life. And the fact that he doesn't want to grow old might mean, if what I'm saying right now is true, is that he doesn't want to grow through the rest of life, growing up, going through middle age, feeling the way that he does now. He could be afraid of death, or he could be looking forward to it.
God damn, kids in America, that's what the fuck is going on today.
There are a million possibilities. A million.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's kind of what Goopy just said, too, because, man, only in this country do people have it so good to where, oh, I'm not really accepted by everyone, so I'll just end my life. As opposed to having some real fucking problems. What the hell am I going to eat today? What are we going to sleep at? I mean, you got bums coming in all around me. Instead of having some real problems, they're worried about what society has to say. A lot of people now, you know. We worry about all the wrong things in this country, you know, and a lot of that stuff spills off to the children.
I don't think because the parents have, let's say, problems that the child can lead off into the kids. I think.
All right, what we got going on here?
Fucking fun.
What's happening?
I think the kid really had, because when you're young, everything is a problem if you're not socially adept. If you can't mix in when you're a kid at school, and this goes in with...
All right, Joe, you need to pick your Obama phone.
Yeah, my Obama...
okay, I wanted to say maybe that we're looking at the situation all wrong, only because we're only hearing one side of the story. There's two parts to every story. We're hearing a sad mom calling in talking about she's all concerned, but we don't know anything about how she's raised this kid from adolescence up into...
But that's okay. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, we don't know anything more about the story. We ain't hearing it from his side. He could tell us a whole lot of fucked up stuff about his mom. And then we look at the situation totally different.
Before we even go down that road, I can vouch for this family, okay? So go ahead. She is not a neglective mother or anything like that.
Okay. So erasing that and just saying that this young man is saying how he doesn't want to get old, maybe she could just try a different approach, like, you know what I'm saying? Step down from being a parent sometime. I know that everybody's saying, okay, don't be your child's friend, but maybe this situation is different. Maybe that's the way that she parents. She's not her child's friend. So maybe at this point in life she could step down just a little bit, remember what it was like when she was 18 and how hard it was just to get started and find a path and get on her child's level and say, hey, you know, what is it that you want to do with your life? Let them know I'm behind you 100% because having a child, support is everything. You show your child that you believe in them, because sometimes you start to doubt yourself when you're young, and it helps when people around you, like your family, your parents, let you know that they're behind you. You might need to be reminded of that. So she needs to let him know, you know, whatever, find out what his dreams are, what his goals are, any interests that he has, be willing to stand behind, be 100%. Spend some time with him. If he likes
to
do music, listen to music with him. If he likes to travel, you guys plan a trip and travel. She can take a positive approach and do something totally different. Just step down from being a parent and remember what it was like to be 18.
You know,
let me bring Ebony in.
You got a good point there.
Yeah, I always bring it back. I always bring it back to the parents' fault anyway.
Ebony, parents don't have time for them kids nowadays.
I mean, but what do you think about that? I mean, what do you think about what I just said, though?
Well, my thing is,
okay, what you said, it made sense. All right, y'all. Ebony Empress is now on the air.
Now we can hear a foreign point of view.
Right. How you doing? Okay.
Hey, y'all go get your nails done later. We chatting right now.
All right, what do you got to say, Ebony?
Oh, well, I just wanted to say that I agree with some of what's been said. You know, this is kind of really echoing back. So I don't know if other people are hearing it echoing, but I can hear myself twice.
Well, I can hear an echo.
But anyway,
let's work that phone, Joe.
Look, if the phone only cost me $5, I'm glad.
The phone cost Joe $5. Oh, God.
It cost me $3, actually.
But to what I was saying, though, as far as you know, looking at it from a different aspect, instead of saying don't be your child's friend, maybe at that age you can look at it in terms of maybe I've been too hard and now my child needs my support to get started in the world. And it's up to me to support my child, because once my child walks out of this house, nobody else gives a damn about my child but me. I understand, because I walk out of my house every day and realize that I'm only responsible for me, and nobody else gives a damn about how my family eats. So I would have to break it down to my child in those terms. Like, you know, I got your back, because if I don't, nobody else does.
Well, what does that mean?
I wanted to say something about that.
Go ahead.
Two things. Instead of saying I agree or disagree and get into a heavyweight fight about what she just said, I don't understand how can a parent step down from being a parent. That just don't sound
That's
right
what I was thinking.
And the other thing is, because if you stepping down from being a parent, which makes no sense to me, and you become like that friend, and how do a parent become a friend and saying, don't become a friend, because I'm not my children's friend. We don't do things.
I don't mean I'm going to say...
You.
Okay, I'm going to stop you now because I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm going to stop you now because I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying because I'm a parent. When I say step down from being a parent, I don't mean give up the role and not have any discipline or not have any reprimandment for what your child does. I don't mean step down from being a parent in that way. I mean step down mentally from the expectations that you may have had for your child and realize where you stood when you were 18. You didn't know everything that you know now. At one point in time, you were just as vulnerable as your child, and you may not have known where you wanted to go in life. So I'm saying humble yourself, if you will, and remember that you didn't always know which way to go.
All right.
I wasn't
all right.
What about
Ebony's
going
to parent?
Well, everybody's talking at once.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me bring Miss Contagious in.
Can Ebony go and then I go?
Let me bring Miss Contagious in, okay?
Damn, got a lot of ladies up in this mug.
Hello, hey.
Hello, Miss Contagious.
Hi, Contagious.
Miss Contagious?
How y'all doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to just say this right here, and then I'm going to leave alone. I agree with the lady that was just speaking, but I'm going to say this much. This is what I'm going to say on experience. I have a 20-year-old, I have a 19-year-old, and I have a... Okay. I got to use for this. Okay, I have a 20-year-old. I have a 19-year-old, and I have a 17-year-old son. My 20-year-old, him and I have conversations. I'm there for him. I'm doing everything. He went through the same thing. It wasn't talking about suicidal. Now, you say you know these people, you know, personally. Now, I have a question for you. Is his father in his life?
No.
Okay, that's his problem. That is his problem because a mother can only do so much for a child. We can do everything in the world. We can be there for him. We can go to the hospital. We can see his diary, everything in the world. But when a child, and this is from experience for listening to my son tell me what his problem was. When they get 18, you know, it's like, damn, my mama has raised me the best way she can. And my dad is not here to tell me, to teach me how to be a man. Now I have to find out how to do this on my own. You're going old because you're not knowing how to be a man. You know exactly what your mother has raised you to be. And you have to go through this, you know, the whole situation. And like I tell my son, you know, we can only teach you certain things. We teach you how to be a man, a woman, only or your mother know how to raise a child. Your father, that's on a different school.
You know what? That's
question. Can I ask you a question?
Erica, can I bet you something, though, before you answer the question?
The thing is that the girl does not have the father in the life. Let's presume that, okay? She has to sit down with the kid. She has to open up with the kid, make the kid feel safe and secure enough to open up with her.
But if we're doing that already.
But see, man, when you do that, you're putting the blame game. We don't need to blame fathers for that. There's many of the people that have gone through single parents home and don't commit suicide. So when you look at that, but I just want to make a statement.
That is not a suicidal statement.
Okay.
What are you talking about? What's not a suicidal statement? Seth, I just want to say something. Okay, go ahead. I'm after you, Shasta.
Okay, because I didn't want to get into anything having to do with suicide at all because I don't see that in this situation. But what I did want to say to the fact of a missing father is a lot of times we say that things are due to a missing father, but I've seen women who raise amazing men. Your son can get just as much from you about knowing how to take care of himself, knowing how to take care of a woman because you are a woman, knowing how to hold down his household, wash his own clothes, wash his own ass, and make sure he eat his own food by working. Mm-hmm. He can learn all those things from his mother. But I do want to ask you as far as on a friend level, because I think people misunderstood me when I said step down from being a parent to being more understanding and a friend. As a mother who has older children, now that your children are stepping out on their own, do you feel like you're having to become more of a friend than a parent so that you can get through to your child?
Well, my children and I, we have an open relationship. I've been a parent and a friend throughout their whole life.
But you are saying it's important to be a friend.
Well, what kind of friend are you talking about?
You have to be talking about like a smoking friend.
I
want to
end this.
You're not going to get any friends unless you get yourself.
I can talk to you as a parent, and then I can talk to you as a friend.
was, can
right,
I say
but we don't mean smoking and drinking. No, Goofy. To answer
yeah,
Goofy's
we're
question,
not talking about
we don't
all that
mean we chilling
hold
like
up, hold up, hold
all
up.
That
can I say something,
stuff,
please?
You know,
can I please
yeah.
say
we don't
something?
Mean illicit things.
Can I please say something? Listen, this is how it is. When y'all talking about 18 years old, and see, there's no confusion with me. At a certain point, I look at actuality and fact.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Look, cut me off. Because I see, this is why we're having a problem, and I will answer your question right now. When a child gets to a certain age, yes, we mold them as parents. But when they become 18 at a certain age, we have to let them make their own decisions. And when you say talking about a friend, is that we cannot, if my son is 18-year-old working, I can't always talk to him as just if he was 8, 9 years old. And that's what do you mean be a friend of your friend? The conversations may be different. He may be telling me some things that's going on in his life that is adult age now. I can't treat my 24-year-old child or my 20-year-old child just as if they were 12 because they are an adult. I am working with an adult. Even though I had them now, I raised them, but there are men and women now, and I'm dealing with a man and I'm dealing with a woman that may be going through issues.
Right.
So there's a certain point that you go. So people say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean you be yourself. You be yourself. If my 24-year-old son comes over my house and we're watching a game, he gets a beer. What do you mean I'm not drinking with my son? He's a grown ass man. He's doing what you want. And if someone outside looks and say I'm drinking with my son, that's wrong. That's them. That's who
true.
The fuck they are.
Well, I
so,
agree
so,
with
so,
go ahead,
even,
Michael.
And even us, we go through different states. Look at yourself.
Yeah.
Your mother can't come and dictate your life. They didn't do mine,
right.
So the conversation just ended.
All right, look,
well,
we're going
people,
all
right.
around the
your
bush
child, when your child becomes an adult, you,
the topic
when
is
your child
about
becomes an adult, you have a different relationship.
Wait a minute, everybody cannot talk at one time. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Right. All right, the kid is 18, all right? We're not talking about whether or not should you have been a friend 13,000 years ago, should you be a friend. He's 18. He is exhibiting a loner behavior patterns, and he's talking about that he doesn't want to grow old. So let's deal with that. The kid's 18
right.
years old now, and it's an actual situation because Eric knows the family. So let's talk about what we can do to help the mother help the kid now.
I just was saying that. That was what I had a whole
yeah,
you
know,
statement
I really
of how
don't know the whole
good.
Situation.
All right, the kid is 18
well,
years of age. The mother is.
Y'all were talking about different
the
topics.
Hey, wait
a minute,
tell you, Mike.
Let,
hey, but,
just, I just wanted to say something. What I wanted to say is, as a parent, there are different roles that you play in your child's life, okay? There is corrective parent, you know. There is critical parent where you decide what role you're playing. With an 18-year-old, what you're playing is like a coaching parent, okay? So you're a parent who, and I have three 18-year-olds who've gone through that stage, one just 18 right now. So it's a coaching parent. It's a parent who will help that child to understand how to take responsibility for their actions, how to understand consequences, that, you know, it's important to take responsibility for what you do, to understand that when you do things, there are consequences, and you've got to be responsible for your actions, whatever they may be. So you're not the parent, you're not the parental friend, as it were, but what you are is sitting in a position where you're allowing that child to make decisions, but helping them to understand what those decisions mean. So it's actually being able to be the person, you know, just like a football coach who kind of sits on the sideline, watches your game, and is able to show you how to make the best moves in order to be the most effective in that game. So the game is life. You're trying to teach that child how to be a great adult in life. And you're not the person who knows best and always knows best, but you can see where that person is heading, depending on the game that they're playing, all right? So that's the role that I play with my kids. It's not I tell you what to do in every situation because you're 18. What I say is, make some choices. Here are some of the options. Here is something you consider. This here is what I can offer you if you decide that's the route you're taking, okay? And this is based on my experience. And here are some of the consequences that you may face. And then if in some instances, I'm going to let you just experience some stuff and feel some pain so you understand what it means.
Exactly.
Do
all right, look. Okay,
right?
Fellas, we only have 16 minutes left. All right, Eric is gone. I'm taking over the show now.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. So here's the situation for those who may not be aware of it, because I came in at a time and I wasn't quite aware of what was going on either. It's a real situation. The kid, it's a boy, I believe. It's 18 years old. Let's assume that he has no father in the picture, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He is a loner. This is something the mother has understood, and he has talked about not growing old. So since we've only got about 16 minutes left, okay, let's stop talking about what could have been done 13,000 years ago, what the philosophical ramifications are, how we could have done what we should have done before the kid's 18. The kid has come. You have now found out you're 18-year-old. It has been a loner. You may have been aware of this. He's talking about not growing old. The topic is also dovetailing from the suicide topic that we had the other day. Okay? So let's go with who hasn't talked in a while. Okay, Lo, what are you thinking about? What's your solution in about 3 minutes, and then we can go around the table until Eric gets back? Lo's not there? Okay. Shasta, 3 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, so I would go back to what I said in the beginning. If my child's a loner, I find this out, I'm going to make every effort to sit down and communicate with my child. What are your interests now that you're getting older and I've taught you all that I can? What do you like to do in school? Are we looking at college? Are we looking at something more? Do you like computers? I want to find some common ground with my child and make every effort to support whatever they want to do and show them that I'm behind them 100%.
Okay, Mike.
Well, first of all, it's about fear. What is the boy fearing of? You can talk all about, he may not even know what he wants to do because he has fear. And I would, as a parent, I would root and find that fear out and I would destroy it. It's fear. You can go to the next person.
Oh, okay. Vernon. Okay,
Matt. I'm here. I'm with Michael on that. You know, I think it's more fear than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's scared of what he's about to enter into the, you know, when he enter into the real world of being an adult, young adult, and I think he's at a point right now because I was there. I'm almost 40 years old now, and I remember when I was 18, I was scared as hell when I graduated high school because I did not know what I wanted to do. I had no clue, and I think that's probably what this guy is dealing with. I wasn't suicidal, and I didn't say I didn't want to live till I got old, but I'm assuming that he's probably afraid.
All right. Okay, Ebony.
Well, I think it could say that to me that child has some deep psychological trauma that's going on, which will be about fear. But I don't think it's as simple as just sitting and having a chat with that child about what they may want to do. I think you may need to get some proper help for that child. And that may mean bringing in an expert to actually help with some talking therapies. The reason being that if you've got to that point where you're actually thinking, I don't want to grow old, I may take my life, it isn't something that you can play with and mess with. Because what you don't, and I've been there with someone who's, you know, in a family where we heard someone talking that way and people tried to talk that person around, and one day they did it, right? So my thing is that, you know, get some help, get that person, that child who is not a child now, is very much becoming a man, into some sort of special support system where they can, you know, their situation can be assessed properly. Don't just leave it all up to yourself. It's quite a serious thing when someone's saying, I don't want to grow old, and actually has suicide tendencies. And I think it's something you can just ignore or think that you can just talk your way around it, because it could be deeper than you can manage.
Okay. Did I miss anybody?
I wanted to say something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go, right?
Well, yeah. You missed a lot of people, but I'm not going
to
say anything.
Okay. No, Lo. Lo, are you back?
It's Contagious was there. Where's she gone?
No, my name's Goofy Bone.
Contagious are gone.
All right, Goof.
Oh,
what
okay.
You want to say?
My name's Goofy Bone. I'm a fourth day caller. I want that woman to get inside of her child's mind. See what makes him tick. What makes him talk. What makes the mouse go up the clock. that child is you. That DNA in him, it's part of you. You need to know what is wrong with this kid. This kid might end up turning into that one that's, one of those kids that shoot up schools or stuff like that. You need to stop it. And you need to stop it right now. You need to find out what's going on. Is he articulate? Does he like, the arts? What does he like? And whatever he likes, you move him closer to what that like is. So he could be focused on the negativity.
Right. Because we can bring, I agree. That's the same thing I was saying. Because
Hold on.
All right, who wanted to say something?
No, I'm not done.
I'm not done either.
Oh, sorry.
I wanted to say something, too.
Let me just finish with
all
this.
All right, go ahead. You got one more minute.
People know how to make kids. But people don't know how to raise kids. That's what people need to start doing, is learning how to raise kids first before they start making them. And I'm done.
Thank you, Joe. Did Lo come back?
No, Lo is not back.
All right. Here's the thing.
All right.
Eric.
Yeah, I want to say.
Okay, Eric wants to say something?
No, Chris.
All right, Eric, you're my kid. You're 18 years of age. I'm the father. Let's say I can play the role of the mother. I'm going to say to you, Eric, you've been brooding. Okay, here, come over here. You and I are going to have a talk, okay? Now, you're a broody kid. You've told me that you don't want to grow old. I'm going to sit down with you. Now, you can play any role you want. You can play a kid that's responsive, or you can play a kid that's going to shut up. You can play a kid that wants to walk away. Let's see what happens. Okay, Eric, come on over here to the couch. I want to talk to you.
Okay.
Okay? We sitting down now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Son, you've been brooding around the house. You haven't gone out to play. You've told me a couple of times you don't want to grow old. Tell me, what's going on?
I don't know. I just don't want to grow old, Dad.
Any particular reason? I mean, your friends haven't been coming over lately. You haven't been going out of the house.
No. I just don't want to grow old.
Why? You just don't want to grow old because you don't want to see wrinkles. I'm concerned because, some kids want to grow up, some kids don't.
Well, are you sure he didn't hear a joke or anything? Because these kids, I don't know.
Wait a minute, Michael.
Come on, Michael. We're role playing here.
No. I just don't want to grow old.
Jesus, you said you were finished. We've only got a few minutes.
Oh, and I think you said that anybody else wanted to say something too, Joe.
Okay, look, I'm back.
You did say that.
How about giving me a shot at it?
Never mind. I handled it. Okay. Now, the bottom line is no, Joe. I don't know why I want to grow old. I just, just a feeling I have that I just don't want to grow old.
Then how come you haven't had your friends over, and how come you haven't been going out of the house to play? How come you've been doing this? You've been brooding, and to me it sounds as though, something's wrong or something's up in school. I mean, you can talk to me,
I know, but it's all right. I just don't feel like being bothered.
You just don't feel like, look, this is a strange topic for an 18-year-old, I mean, a few weeks ago you acted like you were nice and happy. Now it sounds as though, something's up. And, look, I'm your dad. I may not be the coolest thing in the world to you anymore because, you're going through the teenage years. You think of us parents as, being old duddy-fuddies, don't know shit. But I do know a few things or two, and I want to talk to you now about it. So come on.
Do we really have to talk? I told you ain't nothing wrong. I'm all right.
Yeah, we do have to talk. I'm your father. Yeah. I'm concerned. You haven't been acting yourself, and we're not getting off this couch until you open up.
Okay, can I talk to Mom?
No. Mom's not around. I'm a single parent, remember? We can talk to her sometime.
I'm here.
Man.
Don't you
like
to say?
Okay, now, we only got a few minutes left, so I'm going off the role play, but
yeah,
we should continue this, maybe.
I just want to say something.
Hey, Joe, you're a great dad. I wish my dad would say those type of things to me.
Yeah, I wish my dad would have said the same things to me.
Did you say that dad wasn't in that situation? Did you say a dad wasn't there?
No. Yeah, well, I'm the dad because I'm the male. Mom's not in the situation between
me
and
anybody now. Say anything else? I think Chris wanted to say something before me and you started rolling.
Oh, okay.
So go ahead, Chris.
I kind of like how that was role played right there. That's how it should be. You know, the parent, the father, or the mother should, you know, try to get into the person, get into that child's feelings, what's going on, instead of asking what college they want to go to, do you want to get married, or where you want to live in life, or what you want to do with your life. Because that still doesn't, you know, asking questions about college and what you want to do with your life does not have anything to do with why they feeling like they want to kill themselves, you know, because we see professional athletes and people all day kill themselves with million-dollar contracts. You know?
Yeah.
My son comes up to me, Daddy, I want to kill myself. No. I think, you know what, Minnesota State University would be a good school for you. What? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just don't add up. So that's
Is that what he said, though? Is that what the boy said? He came up and said he wanted to kill himself?
No, I said it before, I did the role play.
Some
people was on here saying that if my child comes to me that wants to kill himself and be alone, well, I sit down and talk to them about what they want to do in life. What college
I know, but that's like taking what I said out of context,
home.
The whole...
But that's what
I feel
you
like,
said. I'm saying
okay,
but what you said.
That's
what
exactly
listen.
That's what
no,
I said.
My child wants
that's
to kill himself. I'm not trying to find out what
finish?
House he wants to buy.
Can I finish,
nothing.
Though?
Well,
that's what I said. Not
finish, Esther.
You know?
Okay, whatever. That's what I said was not the intention of that my child...
I know you just didn't tell me no whatever. You forgot who got the controls. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Ooh,
oh, not
wait,
you.
I mean, you know, instead of trying to be their friend, you know, I don't care how old my children get. I don't care. Yeah, we can sit down and have a beer, but that does not take me out of my element or wanting to step down to be a parent. I'm still your parent.
I'm in charge.
I'm the adult, and you're an adult, too. I understand, I respect it, but it doesn't take anything away from me being your parent. I'm not going to step
down. Okay, can I please respond to that, please? Can I please respond to that?
And say, yeah, we the good old boys, and, you know, I'm going to take off my title belt as father.
Well, we think it's cool that you don't communicate with
me. What I'm trying to say is that you can't get in your son's business. You can't dictate to him like he was living in your house, like he's 7 years old. That's what I'm saying. And people say, when you said that, let's say you got a 24-year-old son.
Michael, he's not 24. This is an 18-year-old boy.
I was just using it as an example. Regardless, 18. Regardless,
he was talking about
parenting. Joe, I'm not talking about this situation. We just talking in general, Joe.
We got a real situation here, Mike.
We got a real situation. Let's go to that.
Yeah.
So in the real situation.
Okay, so hold on. In a real situation, you need to find out why is he fit.
His mom and say, I'm going to kill myself.
All right.
Can I say something? I think there was a great point made, which you guys probably missed in the chat room, that one of the things that you don't do when a child is shutting down is talk too much. What you need to do is to have a good balance between talking and actually listening, something that some people can't do on this channel. Listen, because what you're listening for is not covering every gap, asking too many questions. The child's closed down. That means sometimes you need to allow the space for that person to respond so you can hear what's going on in that person. And that's why I said, can I finish? And that's why I said that if you don't feel that you can do an expert job, take that child to an expert, right? Because if you mess with a child and who is already in distress and already not able to communicate well, if you mess it up, that job, that child might take their life. So I would say, unless you understand how to be a good listener and a talker, then don't engage, because some parents, it's not that you, we're bad parents, it's just that we don't understand.
I have to say something. The reason why we don't understand is because the parents is like this other gentleman on the phone, and I want you to listen to me and listen to me closely. When he is 18 years old, you cannot come to them as a certain age when anybody matures, just like everybody on his fucking phone. When you get a certain age, your mother and father can't come to you like they're the one, they're the dictator. They have, and when you talk about stepping down, I'm talking about the, listen, I'm not going to talk to my 18-year-old son the same way I'm going to talk to my 9-year-old son, because there's different topics in life that we're talking about. I can't come to that brother. So when you say that you, but listen, when someone comes to that 18-year-old child, they're going to have to come down and they're going to have to be an equal. You can't come and say that you're number one, you're your father. You can't do that because people reject that.
I got
people reject when somebody talks to them when they looking down upon them. Listen, man, don't cut me off. Do you want somebody to talk down to you, or do you want somebody to sit on your level and say, look, what?
Yep.
All right, damn it. I cut you off, damn it. You ain't listening.
Okay, here's the. Can I talk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Somebody talk.
Real quick. Mike has a point, but the thing is, let's say a 24-year-old. Let's say you got a you got a house. You got a roommate in there for, let's say, your best friend. He's 44, right? He's in your house. You're detecting weird signs about your best friend. He's living with you now for either the week, 2 weeks, or a weekend. Your house, you're paying the bills. You got the right to say to your friend, if he says, well, no, I don't want to talk to you now, you say, fuck that. You're sitting down right here, right now, you're talking to me. Now, he's 44. You can be 44. That's your buddy. You're going to talk to him like that. Same thing with a kid who's 18 years old living in your house. You're telling your boy, sit down. I'm talking to you. And you try to find out from the kid what is wrong with him. Now, if the kid doesn't want to open up after, Jesus, you know what I mean, you're a parent, so a half an hour, an hour, then, you know, maybe I try to find some professional help. But now, but before then, you're taking your kid and you're sitting him down. Now,
have you ever been 18 years old? Have you ever been 18 years old? You have been 18. There's a lot of 18-year-olds. I'm just saying, at an age like that, when someone is 18 years old and you come and say, sit down, I'm going to make you sit down, and they having problems, and you're coming with that aggressive dictator like a parent, like they 9 years old, I'm letting you say, more often than not, it's going to come with rejection. And that's what Ebony is saying.
Yeah,
if you cannot do it right, you need to go to a specialist. Come on, Ebony, can you back me up?
Yeah, I agree.
Come on. Can I say something now?
Oh, now you know I don't need no backup, but I'm like, damn, every time I say something, they act like...
All I'm saying is that, you know, when you're talking to a child, it's not a one-off conversation. You know, you've got to continuously have conversations.
And that's what Joe is doing.
Yeah, I'm talking about...
Michael, one more time. One more again.
Right? Powerful conversations that encourages... A conversation, a two-way conversation between you and that child. It's not a one-stage thing. And there's nothing wrong with going to get expert help, even though you're in the process of trying to help your child, okay? Because what I'm saying is sometimes what we don't recognize is there are so many things that in growing up we put into our own canvas of life. So, you know, there are things that make us go into ourselves and stop us from wanting to communicate. Right? And sometimes it takes a long time to undo that. That's why we end up with people in mental health. They do not communicate sometimes, and they internalize, and there is no way back sometimes from that lack of communication. So yes, Joe, you're absolutely right. We want to get the child to communicate, but you've got to be quite smart in that conversation, and it's got to be continuous, and you've got to make sure you're making progress, because that person could be responding and still having those feelings and still locked in that thought pattern, which is a very negative one, which could take them somewhere that wouldn't be good for you or them. So that's
can
why I say
something now?
Expert help.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Can I say something now? Shit. Okay. I'm looking at it like this. I understand that we want to sit down and we want to talk to our kids. I agree a lot. I agree so much with what Michael is saying, only because I'm young. I don't know how old all y'all old folks is on the line, but I'm 28, so I'm not really far from my parents either.
Yeah,
and I'm
going to
say being a – okay, look. I'm going to say being a young person, I'm not far from 18, and I'm really not. And I remember how I was at 18. I wish my mama would come in my house, think she finna boss anything, and tell me about anything. And if I'm going through something, the least my mom could do is, like he said, get on my level to where I feel comfortable with sharing whatever is on my mind.
Oops. I'm sorry that we not having any of that today. Now, let me say something,
oh,
goddammit.
What happened?
I cut off, dammit. I cut off.
Right. Well, what?
Because I wanted to. It's my show. You don't like it?
You got a little bombastic.
Wow.
All right. Now, damn it.
You got me off, too.
Mm-hmm. Let me explain something to you. Now, I understand all this, but I can't stand listening to that tomorrow. Number one, if you 18 and you living in my house, no, I don't have to get on your level.
It's a penetrating show. You know, you got to talk, so why the fuck you cut off?
They were a loner.
Yo, this is a talk show.
All right. That's right. And I'm the one who let people talk. God damn it. You need to listen to the top of the show. Y'all need to listen to the top of the show. This is my show. I tell y'all. Damn it, I'm talking right now. Now, number one, I don't need to get on an 18-year-old's level. I don't. He's my child. Mm-hmm. She's my child. Okay? Number two, if I'm going to talk to her, we're going to talk as adults, but let's be real. Everybody knows you can't talk to an 18-year-old like a 9-year-old. That's asinine. We know this already. So why are you trying to make a point that's not really a point? Okay? Now, the Shasta, 28, ain't that young, baby. Let's get that right here, too. All right? So don't be talking about you close to a teenage. No, you a long ways from teenage.
Right.
All right? So, but the other thing is, stop interrupting each other. And I told y'all, I'm cracking down. Okay. I'm through now. Make me mad.
Can I finish saying what I was going to say?
Oh, boy.
Because everybody interrupted me, but everybody wants
Jackson
to talk forever.
Action,
okay.
And then I'm after Goofy.
Okay, so anyway, back to what I was saying. It sounds pretty, I like the word asinine. It sounds pretty asinine for me not to understand that my kid is going to be going through shit. And yes, and I don't even know if the dude stays at home or not. It's new stuff added to the story every time y'all talk. But if my child stay at home, you're right. No, I don't want to feel like my child is in control of anything. But if my child's a loner, y'all just said the boy was a loner. So if he's a loner, of course I might have to get down to my child's level to understand where they are.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a regular child and, you just getting down to their level. You just said this boy was a loner, maybe even wanting to commit suicide. So, of course, you're going to have to come to some other level than the one you're on as a parent to kind of be understanding. You may not want to consider that a friend, like friend was a taboo word in this conversation. All I meant by was a friend was supportive, non-judgmental, things that you would want your friend to be. That's all I meant. I wouldn't mean it for this word to be taboo with you dealing with your children. Like I say again, if this is a child who's a loner, you're going to have to come down a few notches to be more understanding and less controlling, aggressive, and, you can't be so assertive to a kid who's got issues, right?
No, that ain't happening. Disagree.
Wrong.
Look.
You just said your kid had fucking issues. You ain't gonna make it no better.
Vernon didn't say
I'm after Goofy, y'all. I'm after Goofy.
Can I talk?
And I'm after you.
No, wait a minute. No. Hold it. Stop.
I'm listening.
Chris.
Yeah.
Chris then Goofy.
Chris. Right.
Yeah. So I have to go down to the level of a loner and be a loner like they are. No. They come to my level because I'm not on that conscious thinking right now. I'm here to lift them up, not to get on their level and be a loner too. Okay.
Oh, I don't
I'm
mean
the
that.
Master
come on
teacher.
Now. Shit.
I'm the master teacher here. Okay. You know. So,
come on now.
Excuse me. And all these labels being attached to a parent, dictator, can't relate. Why do these labels like being a dictator have to be put on a parent? Couldn't a parent
be all those wonderful things.
Are you asking me that question? Are you asking me that question?
Look, you two. Let
open-minded, understanding, caring, concerned, passionate. All these things without putting the word friend to it. Because that's what a parent is to me. I'm done because I'm coughing.
All right, go ahead, Goofy.
Man, this stuff doesn't happen overnight, okay? This kid must have went down a wonderful slide that decided to beat him half to death to come out to where he is now. That parent, something went wrong, I'm going to say probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, where he started going down this path of thinking, hey, I don't want to live no more, or I don't want to grow old. So you need to, as a parent, see what your kids are doing. Find out what's wrong with them. You know, it's not that hard. I don't understand. It's not like a dog where, you know, you don't understand his language. This is your kid. You created this kid. This kid has you inside of you. It ain't that hard. I'm done. Go ahead, Michael.
All right, Michael.
Well, I just want to say this, people. Let's get this straight. When we talk about calm down, when me and her talking about calm down, let me give you a visualization. When you talk to your child when he's 18, well, let's say he's graduated 17, he has his own job or something, whatever, but he's going through problems. You have to come and talk to him like an adult to an adult, not a father to a son, adult to adult. That's what we're saying. He's an adult. He's old enough to go in the army.
No,
you're cutting me off.
Let him talk.
Oh, my.
What the fuck he talking about? Let him say what he
got to
say.
I know what the fuck he talking about. I know when I was 18 years old and somebody would have came to me dictating me, I would have rebelled. That's the problem. They will rebel to you if you do not want to talk to them in a certain way. Simple as that. You have to get down and say, listen, I'm your father, but when you're talking to an adult, you're not talking to a 9-year-old child. That's what we're trying to say. You can't say, you better do this, you better do that. You can't say that shit when you're talking to a grown adult. And hold up. What about when they get in relationships and you may hear about their relationships? Are you going to be a father and dictate and go and get into their relationships? No, you don't do no shit like that. Because at a certain point, we're their fathers. We'll give them the advice. We understand that. But like Ebony said, they're going to learn and make their mistakes, but we have to be assertive, not aggressive when we're talking to them. That's the only thing I'm saying. You can't look. Of course that's your son. Of course that's your daughter. We know that. But you can't treat them like no better or I'm a dictator. A dictator, a parent, when you totally take care of a child, you have the last say. You don't have a last say in when they get old enough. You give them advice, they make your own choice, and you still love them. You can't turn around and beat them. That's what I mean. You can't come as a dictator.
Oh, you can't beat them.
Sound good to me.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to be the 24-year-old son. 25-year-old. Okay,
no,
man. All right, whatever.
All right, now.
I ain't buying it.
Michael, you finished?
Hell no.
Yeah, I'm saying it.
I don't think anybody else is left except for Ebony, and after that, I want to say something, too.
Ebony, you got anything to say?
No, Joe, you go first.
Okay. The situation was, and I did introduce this, Eric, I don't think you said that the boy was living with the mother, but is he?
Yes.
Okay. I went through the role play of the actual role play of what's happening because I'm concerned about my kid. I told the kid to come over to the couch. The kid came over to the couch, okay? Eric then said, as the kid, that he wants to leave. I said no. So the kid still stayed with me. Now, what I understand with everybody here philosophizing, and everybody's philosophy is, you know, has merit, just like my philosophy has merit. But we're talking about an actual situation where it's an actual family because Eric knows his family. This mother is reaching out for help. So if the child is on your couch, if the child says, well, I don't want to talk to you right now, Mom, or I don't want to talk to you right now, Dad, what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, okay, go ahead, go do what you want to do. Now, the kid's a loner, so he's going to go to his room. You, as the parent, 18 years old or not, the kid is in your house. You have to act authoritatively.
Well, you go in the room,
parent.
And you go into the room.
Michael.
Well, then if you go into the room, that's fine. I'm saying you've got to pursue the kid. Now, if the kid is not going to get up or freak out, you're still going to have to act authoritatively and try to find out what is wrong with the child.
Okay, so I'm asking you, okay, so if they're being defiant, what are you going to do, Joe, when they're still being defiant? What are you going to do?
I'm saying if you're going to stay right here on the couch, you and I are going to talk because I am your father. I am concerned about
you. But what if they rebel and they're not?
Then if they go inside the room, you just said go inside the room as a
father.
Okay,
what if they go inside the room, he's still not talking, Joe?
All right.
You ain't learned nothing new.
Hold on. After about a half an hour or so, I am not going to beat him over the head. But I'm going to come back the next day to try to let him know. I am still consistently trying to find out what's wrong. After a while, if he doesn't want to open up to me, then I'm going to agree with Ebony, and I'm going to see about professional help. Because if he's not opening up, there is something absolutely wrong with him.
What is the problem? What if the problem with the child was the over-assertiveness of the parent? What if this child felt like my parent is too aggressive for me to talk to anyway?
Exactly.
From
all them beatings they were getting when they were little. From all them
beatings. The family to try to talk to the kid. Because the kid absolutely needs somebody to talk to. Can we agree on that?
But it's probably not going to be you because of the way that you talk.
Listen. If a child does not want to talk to their parent, that means they're fearful. That's a fact.
Right.
If they cannot open up and come...
Right.
Fearful. I don't know. He may be fearful that if you tell him something,
well,
I don't know. Some children may be fearful. If you tell him
going,
something, you might beat him. You might yell at him.
If he is fearful, then
Damn,
we
Michael,
agree
he
that he has to talk to somebody else, right?
Right.
Yeah. He needs
okay.
To talk to
so
somebody.
Then either somebody else within the family
that,
or as a professional. That's what I said.
He needs to talk to someone. I think all it is.
Yeah, you're saying that now, but initially everybody was in agreement with Joe, and he was like, oh, we're going to make our child come back and talk because you live in my house and I'm the supervisor over you. You might not want to use the word dictator,
the hell
but
I get muted
you're still
for?
In control, so you're still
hey, Chaz,
a supervisor.
Hey, Chaz, I already used it, Chaz.
I thought you was making a noise, Goofy, my bad.
Chaz, I already told him, Chaz. I told him.
They can't see it. Somebody said nobody here listens, and they're right.
They can't see it. They can't see it, Chef.
What you mean? Nobody's listening when they don't agree with what you're saying.
Exactly. And look, mine is not a philosophy. I know kids rebel like that. You can say what the hell you want. Mine is not a philosophy.
I was a rebellious teenager, so I know. You
and
tell
mine
me
is not
a
philosophy. Just say 5 seconds ago, if the kid does not want to talk to the parent, what did I say?
Then
I
mean
agree with everybody
to
by saying the kid has to talk to somebody.
Okay,
Pete
Game, hey, can I throw a wrench
somebody,
in this? What if I take my child to professional
yet.
And they
Chaz,
still
Chaz,
don't want to talk?
Will you
Chaz,
let him
Chaz,
finish?
Do you not realize when somebody else is talking that they haven't finished? So when the kid hasn't opened up, he has to open up to somebody because, remember now, he hasn't opened up to the parent after about 3 or 4 or 5 days, so something obviously is wrong. He has to talk to either somebody in the family or a professional. I came to that conclusion. People said yes. So what's the problem?
Well, let's
well,
go further.
What it is.
What if he rejects the professional?
Wait a minute, Michael. Let Ebony talk.
What it
let
is,
Ebony talk.
And as someone who's worked with troubled teenagers, so I can tell you, not just with my own teenagers, but I have worked on residentials with young people for volunteered as a coach with an organization called Youth at Risk, and we had some seriously troubled young people that we worked with. And what it was, a lot of those young people, you're absolutely right, didn't want to communicate and weren't prepared to communicate with their families or anybody really. But what we found was, what you did was, what it is a course of conversations over a long period of time. And you're talking, we had those kids for up to 10 days, and we were talking to them through different means, different small conversations with breaks during the day, and you're talking about time from about 10 in the morning to almost 10 at night. That's how much work you had to put in to get a conversation out of these young people. Now, at the end of 10 days, right, you would see a change around, and you'd see these young people start to talk, start to communicate, start to bring stuff out. But it is a long process, and it's professionals who are doing that work, much less you're asking a parent to go in there, where often the problem is you.
Right,
most
exactly.
of the time it's
yes.
you. The reason
yes.
why they've shut down is because of stuff that you've done as a parent.
Exactly.
And you're,
not, right,
and you're going to be
exactly.
the last person in a lot of cases where, who they want to speak.
So Ebony, you agree that when you talk, when a parent talks to get a child, they can't come as a parent like, you better do this, you better do that, because even you're saying when they go to those counseling, y'all don't come to them like that. So that's why they took 10 days to open up. But I'm saying the way these guys are saying how you so approach them, they're still saying, I'm the parent. You can't look at it like that.
Well,
I'm saying, because
if you come
like that, your psychology and your words, and you're going to come off wrong.
But
that's what it is. That's what it is.
Because
they're grown up now. They're grown adults now, and they have problems.
What I have to say, though, is that in one way, Joe is partly right, because when we have our conversations with the young people, it's very straight talk. It's not like, you know, we're not compromising in any way. It's very straight conversations in that what we're trying to do is challenge that young person to see that as an adult, you make adult decisions and there are adult consequences and you have to be responsible for who you are. Now, it doesn't mean that you're that you're dictating, but what you're doing is showing them that, listen, through conversation, that actually some of it is that we don't straight talk to our young people. Most of the time, parents don't. Right, we bully them.
But sometimes it's how we talk, not just straight talk.
Michael,
as
you
they get older.
One more time.
I'm gone anyway.
Bye. What we do is we play that mixture between friend and parent, right? So it's, I'm being nice, but I'm trying to get you to hear and see what I'm doing. If they go into a program where they're being supported to have better relations and better conversations and to come out of themselves, what the people who are doing that work do is talk very straight. This is what you're doing. This is how you're being. They show you who you're being. They don't, you know, they don't compromise to you in a nice way, but they don't dictate to you. Do you get what I'm saying? There's a middle ground that isn't about being soft or compromising, but it's being straight but not dictating. Right?
Right. Okay.
A professional does that. And
my thing, I like the way they improv, the way a parent should talk to their child. Come sit down, talk to me on the couch, and not one time, because this is an actual situation going on that is happening and is real. There wasn't no dictating. You're going to sit here on the couch and do what you want. A lot of people, you know, being parenting gets a bad name with I'm in control, I'm in charge, I'm the ruler. Well, yeah, sometimes you have to put that hat on. There's different layers of being a parent, and it just doesn't stop at, you know, I'm in charge. And a lot of rebellious teens know this and see that parent as just that one label, because sometimes they put themselves in them situations as the parent, forcing themselves to say, come sit your ass down. So, you know, teenagers as well bring out that dictatorship, you know.
Yes.
So let's not point the finger at that. Let's not just say parents are dictators and now we have to change the channel or switch the situation to be a friend. No. When people say that, that's because they their parents as dictators 24/7, and they didn't really want to listen to what they had to say to begin with.
That's right. I think as well, you know, Mr. Talk, you may want to consider having a show, just offering you this if you want to, on parenting, because a lot of people think they're parents, but they only parent the way that they were parented. Or they try to be a parent that they've seen or they think in their mind is what parenting is about. Parenting
can
is,
I
much
comment?
Is much harder
can
than
I comment?
You finish. When she finished?
When I finished. Parenting is much harder than people think, and maybe sometimes we need to go to parenting classes. Seriously. I'm done.
Okay, can I comment?
Yeah, of course you can.
Awesome. I've been to parenting classes. Actually, I have.
Yes,
so I took the whole course. Got the certificate. It's awesome. A lot of things that they teach you in parenting classes are awesome. But one thing that they also teach you is you're not going to learn how to be a parent through a book or even instruction.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of situations that come up that somebody can't teach you about. You know what I mean? So it sounds great to say, oh, take parenting classes. I took those, and it was great. It was awesome. I learned more tools to succeed, better ideas. But it all goes back to me being intertwined with my child. And I agree a lot with what Goofy was saying. This is my child. My child is me. When I look at my child, that's a mini me. If my child has problems, I need to be looking within myself. What issues do I have? What issues did I have? And then how am I parenting my child? Am I being too harsh? Did I take the road where I felt like I had to run everything because that's the way I was parented? So I'm being so strict on my child to where I'm not tuned in to their feelings and what they're doing at school and what their interests are, to the point where my child has become drawn into a shell. They don't even want to share anymore because I've ignored what they wanted to share for so long. So a lot of this could be me as a parent to why my child is in a shell now and doesn't know how to talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to. You finished, Esther?
Yeah.
Okay. I happen to agree 100% with what you just finished saying. I was when I was doing the role playing, I was assuming I was a father that the boy had trust in. Because what Ebony's talking about and what Michael's talking about is fear, and there's an element of trust there. If the parent is somebody who has been shut off from the kid for 18 years and now is trying to, you know, act like a good parent, the boy or the girl is not going to open up.
Mm-mm.
So if that parent's been a bad parent for 18 years, that child's not going to say shit to that parent because why should he? Okay? And I'd like to know the success rate of those professionals because, again, when you're a kid who is 18, 17, 16, 19, you're shut down. You're not going to open up to anybody because you haven't established trust with that person yet, because you can talk to person number one, person number two, person number three, and all you're going to do is talk, 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 but the situation that got you to become shut down is still there. So if that, unless that counselor or parent knows about that situation and can identify with you in that situation, you're still going back to that situation. So let's say you're a kid who's been beat up all the time in school and you haven't told your parents about it. You can talk to counselors, you can talk to parents, but if they're going to tell you, you got to make adult decisions, then after that conversation, you're going back to school and getting your ass kicked. That doesn't mean shit to the kid. So that kid, you have to establish trust with the child.
Well, Joe, the 10 days are about establishing that trust that you're talking about. And it's actually getting the child to trust you enough to have a conversation with you and to open up. That's what the process is about. Because when we close down, it takes a long time to reopen, even as adults. There is many of us, the reason why we have bad relationships is because we're closed. We're closed, and we've never opened up that aspect of the places where we've been hurt. We've never addressed those issues, much less a child, okay? But children are much easier to actually work with than adults because we got so much stuff going so far back. You don't even know where to start sometimes with an adult. But with a child, it's much more recent because 18 years old, you don't have as much on your canvas of life, okay? So you can spend time kind of really working to bring that child out, to get that child to a position where they trust you and where they want to talk to you and communicate what their fears are. And that's all you want, is them to understand how to communicate their fears, one,
right,
and communicate those fears, two.
All right.
I don't know how it went so chaotic. My parents knew me, every single thing I did, what I was up to. I used to think that they were the devil and a witch because they knew everything. That's parenting. And the funny thing is, they weren't there, you know, like you know, moms and dads were. They were basically there like if I was a slave and they were my, you know, my slave runners.
Well, then you surely weren't going to open up to them.
Of course. Can I say something to the opposite of that?
I only got 2 minutes. I want to ask Ebony a question. I'm the kid. I'm 18 years of age, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You've established trust with me in 3 days. I'm telling you, okay, Ebony, you're my counselor. I'm getting my ass kicked every day in school. What are you going to say?
Well, the bullying or whatever it is a different. That's dealing with something that's happening to you. What the trust is about is me even finding out that you've been bullied in the first place. And having just finished doing an interview this weekend gone, as you may know because you were listening in, with someone who got bullied for over, 10, 11, 12 years and never told her parents while she was at school and had loving,
trusting, great parents, okay, but never communicated the bullying that she was receiving, then that tells you how deep it's just about
so
finding
what are you
out
say to me?
What it is. I'm not going to, obviously, I'm not going to say to you, I can solve it all for you, I can change the world, but
so
once
we
know what the problem is, once we know what the problem is, then it means that we can work to deal with the solution. And that may mean going to the school. It may mean putting in a care plan in place which takes you out of that school and puts you into a safe place, just like anybody said.
All right, but I'm inside your office. You're the counselor. I have said to you, you've made me open up. Ebony,
right.
I have had my ass kicked for this whole semester. Okay.
Right.
I was afraid to tell you because I don't want to, you know, reveal to you I'm a pussy. But now you've got me to open up. How are you going to help me?
Right. Now I've got to bring your parents, who are the adults in the situation, in play.
I don't want my parents involved because if I wanted them involved, I would have had them. I would have talked to them.
Well, too late. Right. They're involved.
I want to put you to a place of safety, right?
Okay.
Adults have got to get involved to make you safe. It's like if you're a victim of domestic violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you gonna deal with the perpetrator, or is the law gonna deal with the perpetrator? Which one?
Well, the law's definitely gonna deal with the domestic violence case, but the bullying.
Exactly.
Okay.
Bullying is very similar. Anybody who's a victim is not able to necessarily deal with the perpetrator. Someone has to step in and do it on their behalf.
So that's
right?
What you're gonna tell me.
Yeah,
and I've
okay.
Put a plan in place to help you, to make you safe.
I say something real quick.
Yeah.
Awesome. Because I want to go back to what we originally were talking about, which wasn't bullying, but it was the real situation about the woman and her son who was a loner. So
thank you.
Goofy had said something that I wanted to go back on. Goofy was saying, you know, parents are involved and they know everything you're into and everything like that.
Okay.
And, you know, that means they're caring. Okay, bet. Growing up, my parents weren't
know.
The people that I wanted. Let me finish. Growing up, my parents weren't the people that I wanted to talk to. What if I had an abusive parent who beat my ass all the time? I couldn't trust you, let alone want
right.
to tell you anything that ever happened to me.
Right.
I get my ass beat. I'm scared
mm-hmm.
to go
yeah.
home if I get a detention at school because I'm going to get my ass beat because the teacher said I talked. It was a point where I wouldn't even want to go home.
Right.
You don't want to mm-hmm. deal with these people because these are the people who cause you to feel the way you feel.
Yeah.
And you know
yep.
what? Sometimes parents are the main people who can tap dance. They'll have the counselor.
Yep.
Let me finish. They'll have the counselors believing that you're the perfect parent. Oh, ma'am, mm-hmm. I don't know what's wrong with your son.
Oh,
you're,
yeah.
You guys seem to be the perfect parents. You guys got enough money. Your house is nice. Everything seems to be fine on the surface. But you know what? We don't know what these parents have been sweeping under the rug. This is a problem. It is a problem. And a lot of times it stems from.
Yeah. I think we should have a show about parenting for sure.
Look, let me
That's
tell you what my dad used to tell the counselors, because they didn't understand. I'm making perfect grades, but yet I am a troubled child. And you know what my dad would tell the counselors? He thinks he's in an invisible gang, and he's realizing that it's invisible. That's why his brain is not functioning right. That's what my dad told the counselors. And right there, they didn't even question anything. They said, okay. Okay, you know you're a great parent. You know, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
I'm just saying. I think my point in everything was to say that.
Somebody told me. I had a conversation about this 4 or 5 years ago. A PhD, doctor, counselor, psychologist, special. Good friend of mine. He said a lot of times when. Even adults, but we're talking about this child that's 18, right, that are loners and that wants to do suicide, and when they become the age of 18 they start talking like that, there's something, two things that most likely happen. What happened in this experience that they went through, and I believe it, this experience that they went through that's causing them to act this way might have happened maybe 10, 12 years ago right there in the home. It had nothing
yeah.
to do with school. And I believed it. And it was something that happened. Y'all can follow me on this without me saying it. It was something that happened. They're embarrassed to even talk about it.
Yeah.
So being a parent, so it has nothing, it has something to do with fear, but it has nothing to do with fear about they what people were. It's something that happened in that household
That's right.
Talk to the other parent about it.
Okay, but we could say that. We could say that that's one side of it, okay? But I was bringing up another side of it.
That's the main reason.
We can't say that any one thing is... Can I finish? We can't say that any one thing is the main reason because there are so many different circumstances that surround so many different children and young adults. But what I was bringing into the whole thing was, what if I came from a home where I was being abused? Not so much as...
That's what I was saying.
That's what he's
saying. He's coming from a home that has been, no, not you, but the number one reason.
I don't mean.
Start with the number one reason that that person is alone and something happened to them is because they have been mentally, physically abused.
Absolutely.
Or sexually, mentally, physically abused. Then after that, you can go 2, 3, 4, and 5. But the number one reason is they have been mentally, physically, or sexually, or physically abused in that household.
Okay.
And they are alone, they're a loner in that home because they feel more depressed like, damn, I have nowhere to go. I have to stay here. I can't just...
Well, I mean, I'm glad that y'all are talking about that now, but once upon a time, this conversation wasn't even leaning toward that. Once upon a time, the whole table that's on the line right now was saying, I'm going to confront my child. I'm going to sit down and we're going to talk about it. My child's going to talk to me because you live in my house. No, hold on. Nobody was thinking about the fact that it could have been some sort of abuse from the parent or something that wasn't right in the home.
You're right.
Nobody
so
had
brought
that up.
You got into that direction.
It happened 7 years ago. This stuff doesn't happen overnight.
The person that got abused,
that shit happened like 10 to 13 years ago. There
why did it have to be that
out.
Long ago?
Can you listen to what I'm saying, and I'll explain, instead of going in what if and whys and everything. Because there are adults today that are just coming out the situation about when
absolutely.
I was in college, my Catholic priest or whatever, sexually harassed me, when I was on the football team. I got sexy rap when I was, you know, singers and entertainers are coming out right now.
Yeah,
you know, I can name several that are like, hey, when I was a child, they're just now dealing with it today. And they're saying the same thing that this person is saying over the phone. You know, I've been a loner all my life. Yes, I'm rich and successful, but after I do a show,
but this lady didn't even say her son had been a loner all his life.
He's been a loner all his life if he don't get help.
You know what?
And the number one reason.
Now you're talking about at help. But at first, you wanted to be
the superior
parent.
Everybody's bringing in good points. Shasta, you're talking about a kid who possibly got abused by the parents in some way, and that, therefore, the kid does not have any trust with this particular parent.
Exactly.
Chris is talking about also a situation within the household where where the kid is feeling maybe he got abused by an uncle or something. Something's going on in the household. I'm bringing up a point where the kid may be bullied at school. We don't know you're right. We don't know why the kid's feeling like a loner. So now we're leading ourselves into directions to find out why he's a loner.
But I got this from a professional, and the number one reason you have to start somewhere. But the number one reason you start.
Did we lose him?
I guess so.
I think we did.
All right. Well, you know what?
I think he's absolutely right.
No,
there is no right or wrong answer.
All right. Well, you know what?
No, he's right.
I think everybody's right.
And everybody's right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Everybody has valid points. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know what? It's just a conversation that we need to have more often.
Yeah.
You know, if more parents had these type of conversations with the kids, you know, I do believe suicide would go down, and a lot of other things would be better off. But hey, we have to schedule it later. Maybe after we schedule the parenting class, we'll come back and touch on this again.
When are you going to have that? The show about parenting, because that's a good topic.
Probably in about 2 weeks.
Oh shit!
Hey, I got to spend.
We need somebody real in the studio for the parenting course.
What?
Yeah, you need somebody in the studio.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Okay. Hush, Shasta. Anyway.
Well, I could be able to facilitate that while you being funny.
No. Anyway, what was I about to say? See? Oh, yeah. We could be going after the parenting class. All right, so as always, we get our final words in. Starting with Ms. Shasta, your final words.
yes, as a parent myself, I believe that it starts young, where you're in tune with your children, how they feel. It starts young with you giving them words of encouragement and support and letting them know that you are here and you're behind them in every endeavor. And it's important that you know the type of people who are around your child. That's important, too. And that's all I got to say.
All righty. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. All right, Miss Ebony.
Well, I just wanted to say parenting is much harder, and this is a much more complex subject than people actually imagine. I actually want to say that, you know, one of the things that I did to help myself was not just to go to parenting classes, but to take on some life coaching of my own, to do some counseling of my own, to sort out my own issues, because very often we have a load of issues ourselves. And before we start parenting, really parenting our kids in the right way, we've got to sort ourselves out first. And, you know, sometimes when you've resolved your issues and you know where you are, you know what parenting is smooth. And that's been my experience. You know, when your kids know they can trust in you because you understand who you are and how to work with them to be the best that they can be, there's not a problem with your kids shutting down. That's my.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. I like that. All right. Thank you, Miss Ebony. All right, Mr. Goofy.
From a person who doesn't want to be a parent by choice, parenting is a very, very, very responsible way of life. You have to be on top of things. You can't just, you know, expect a kid to be born and, you know, figure it out on his own. You have to at least help him and guide him or her in the right direction. Being a parent is the number one thing. And then your personal life, that's next. Like I told everybody, it's easy to make kids, but it's harder to raise them. People should concentrate on how to raise them first and then have them.
Mm-hmm.
Get your priorities straight and make sure that kid grows up to be a prosper, fun-loving, educated person. And that's it. Everyone have a great Wednesday.
You too, Goofy. Thank you. Okay, Joe, final words.
I've got some words to say today.
Uh-oh.
Everybody's final words are excellent. Right on point. Everybody. Goofy especially. Shasta, because she went to parenting classes. Ebony, because she took parenting classes and counseling and took life coaching. This would be an important topic. As I've said on your show and other shows before, kids have to have that balance. They have to fear their parents so that they respect their parents, and at the same time, the parents have to instill within those kids, when they're young, when they're right out of the womb practically, that they love those children because they're there, just because they exist. When they grow up in that kind of atmosphere, they can feel trusting of the parents, and they and hopefully the kid won't even be, if the kid has any real problems, they'll feel safe enough. Just like Michael was talking about fear, they'll feel safe enough to go to the parents so that the parents and the kid can work things out. And if they can't work things out, not because there's an animosity between them, but because there's a problem that can't be worked out just with conversation, they can then get some sort of professional help. And I'd really like to have a parenting class, a parenting show sometime.
All right. Well, we're going to make that parenting show happen for
okay.
Sure. All right. Thank you, Mr. Joe.
Sure.
All right, y'all. Oh, boy, I tell you, another day. Now, this has been an outstanding show for real. We're 42 minutes over, and guess what? Who cares? All right. we're going to play our commercial, and I'll be back with my final words in 31 seconds.
The first in the Just Know series of inspirational fiction novels, No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress, is heartwarming and emotionally engaging. You will be challenged and changed as you read the gripping story of Trinae Sloan, a young, single mother torn between her misplaced faith and her children's philandering father, and what's best for everyone involved. No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress will be available in both paperback and ebook formats March 13th at Amazon.com.
All right, y'all. Don't forget March 13th, No Condemnation will be available on Amazon.com. Hey, make sure you support the sister and get your copy. Whew, I tell you. All right. Whew, I tell you, man, what a great show. What a great show. Teen suicide and gun violence. And it broke down into parenting, didn't it? Well, I tell y'all, it really did. And as far as the parents and kids, you know, here's what I learned from having a child myself. You know, when you talk to your child, as far as getting on your child's level, I've never been one to agree with that. However, what I do say is, you know, if there's something your child like, see, you don't, when you talk to your child, it doesn't have to be in a old, stale, static setting. Now, y'all follow me here. You know, it doesn't have to be sitting on the couch. You could be, you can go for a ride. You know, if y'all used to ride, go ride somewhere. It could be maybe your son or daughter likes playing ball on the ball field. You know, just have a conversation on the ball field. But regardless of where you have this conversation at, you have to make the child feel comfortable. And of course, and it may not work the first time. You may not get anything the first time, but you have to continue. You know, don't give up. Because if something's bothering your child, you should know. But don't give up. Never give up on a child. Because the day you do, it may be the day they really, really do feel like doing something to themselves. As long as you're trying, you're showing them that you care. And believe it or not, they will recognize that. They will. But you just cannot give up. Yes, it may take some creative thinking to get the information out of them. But okay, why not? As long as you get the information. As long as you get the information. Now, you know, depend on what you may think the situation is. Now, if you're dealing with drugs, or you found something in their possession or in some of their gear or what have you that's serious enough, no, you don't have time to do the comforting thing. You have to come as an adult. You may call it aggressive. You may call it what you want to. But if it's serious enough, it's drugs, guns, alcohol, you don't have time to be the soft parent, as I say, I guess you can say. You need to be aggressive and stern and let them know that is not the thing to do. It's not. You know, everybody did their show had great, great info. And they had, you know, it's nice to have so much knowledge flowing. It is. But when the bottom line comes down as the parent and your child, this is what I say, as the parent and your child, you have to do what is best for you. You have to know what makes your child tick. And that's, I'm leaving it right there. I'll let y'all marinate on that overnight. All right? All right. Well, tomorrow our show is it's going to be another good show. That's for sure. Parents versus athletes in the music industry. So, I mean, it's just an extension of today's show, I'm sure. Okay, well, I want to thank everybody who called in today. Shasta, Joe, Ebony, Michael, Chris, Goofy, let's see. Oh, yeah, my first time caller, Miss Contagious, everybody that was in the chat room. Once again, I want to say thank you for supporting me. Without you, I couldn't do anything, that's for sure. Tomorrow's show, once again, is Parents versus Athletes in the Music Industry. Show is at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to give that special someone a hug and a kiss. Tell them you love them, you appreciate them. You don't have nobody to do it. Hug yourself. Tell yourself you appreciate yourself. Heck, just tell, you know what I mean? Don't forget yourself. But if you have that special someone, just let them know that they are not forgotten, and you do appreciate them. Because that really goes a long way, regardless of whether you know it or not. Because believe it or not, One day they won't be here, and you're going to miss them a whole lot. All right? Well, until tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern. I'll see you then. I am out of here. Talk, let's 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 talk.